space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
six, five, four, three, two, one, zero. Blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
You're listening to the Mad Science Show at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html where you have access to not one, but three separate chat rooms. Woohoo! Alrighty then, so in the mainstream science world, old Shaziz, the Mad Science Guy, would be considered to be a heretic. And so while still doing prep for the show here, I come across what would be called the Evil Wiki. And it says, the Dark Arts. Yeah, I'm going to talk about the Dark Arts on Mad Science. I done probably run a bunch of people off already because they, you know, once people hear something like that, it's like, ah, I gotta go. Anyway, the dark arts, it says on this page here that I come across, it said basically the dark arts are any science, discipline, magic, or martial combat style note that is deemed by society in general and the establishment in particular as a bad idea. In other words, if there are things man was not meant to know, you can expect someone to have thought it would be cool to make an easy to read how-to book on it. The dark art might not necessarily be evil or dangerous, but there's always at least some cause to consider these powers, skills, potent, and not to be left open for everyone to learn. So just who practices the dark arts in spite of all these dangers? Lots of people. Things, if it is magical, then an evil sorcerer. If it is science, then a mad scientist, of course. And if it is martial arts, then arrogant kung fu guy is likely to know it. Expect them to learn their craft in the Academy of Evil. If any kind of magic science is considered to be dark arts, you have magic is evil or science is bad. Even though the only crime in arts is bad taste, the mad artist usually knows how to drive viewers mad in the bad way with their art. A hero might be able to redeem the dark arts or at least use them without becoming damned or addicted with the Godzilla threshold is crossed. So apparently, because I'm doing mad science, I'm practicing the dark arts. Anyway, you know, there's a whole lot of things out there it seems like we're not supposed to know, otherwise the you know, mainstream scientists would be talking about them and such, and you know, the power companies and fuel industries and so on. You know, there's certain things that literally they don't want you to know, because if you do know them, then there's no reason for them to be able to sell their product. You know, like for example, oil. You know, if you find a way to use any other substance such as water for fuel, then you know, you're not going to put no money in their pocket, and that's not cool, man. So it's just crazy to me to see, you know, the things in this world being in the state of affairs. We got so many different sciences and technologies and knowledges of different substances and what they do and how certain points of what we call the laws of physics cause and reaction kind of thing. So apparently, because I go against the grain of the dark, the mainstream scientist, I practice the dark arts. So I'm like the sorcerer of rotten science or something. Okay. Well, anyway, the Mad Science Show is live, folks. If you care to join in, throw a thumbs up in the Mad Science Room or whatever. But in the meantime, I'm going to tell you a few things. I posted some links over there in the chat room, one of which is a video, a short video on eddy currents that kind of gives you an explanation of eddy currents. And I threw in three separate Wikipedia articles, ferrite cores and one for eddy currents and one for magnetic cores. Because when I started doing this latest round of research, I came across a few things that were very interesting, such as these things that we would normally consider to be a pain in the neck, such as eddy currents. You know, if you put if you build yourself a coil, whatever, out of coiled up tubing or wire, and you energize that with some electrical current, you produce what basically is known as a induction heater. And so any object that you put inside there will actually begin to get hot depending on what type of material it's made out of. If you take a look at any transformer out there, you'll note that the transformers, for the most part, there's two different types of transformers that we that are commonly in use, one of which is a laminate core, which is basically several stacks of metal that are soft iron that are insulated from each other and basically reduce the eddy current losses that you'd get, the heat that you that causes in the inefficiency, because heat kind of tears up magnets, and it also kind of breaks down the insulation of the windings on coils, and so you don't want to generate a lot of heat. Well, in order to be able to get the saturation point that you need for the transformer to, you know, basically work that energy around those coils, you need to be able to do it without generating a lot of eddy currents. You don't want the heat, because the heat will actually tear things up, cause them to break down. I get a drink of my coffee. Well, in the meantime, one has to think about all the different possibilities. See, we know with eddy currents we can actually generate heat, so we actually have the technology right now to make ridiculously efficient superheaters that will heat our house using lower voltages, lower currents than before. See, an induction heater usually requires a lot of current flow in order to, you know, melt stuff. Well, we're not necessarily wanting to melt stuff. We just want to bring it up to temperature so that we can, you know, make something warm enough that, you know, it will keep us warm in the process with radiant heat or whatever, by maybe heating up water through an induction style heater system or whatever. We can bring that temperature up to where we want it. We don't have to melt things by putting them in between the induction heater. The other style of core that you got would be a ferrite core. And ferrite, according to the Wikipedia article on there, it says in electronics, a ferrite core is a type of magnetic core made of ferrite on which the windings of electrical transformers and other wound components such as inductors are formed. It is used for its properties of high magnetic permeability coupled with low electrical conductivity. Why would they even say about low electrical conductivity on there? Because if you have a ferrite core and you're inducing a magnetic field back and forth through there, every single object out there, every single material, basically has electricity surrounding it. It has an energy force surrounding it. That might sound crazy. If you talk to any mainstream scientist or electrician or electronics engineer, the very first thing they're going to tell you is that literally we go by the electron theory. So that's how things work. We shake loose the electron and we produce a current flow that we call electricity. Well, maybe that's not the case. And so in the mainstream science, for me just to say that would make me a heretic. So I'm in the dark arts. I'm practicing the dark arts. Things that man should not know, according to society. All right, well, if you take a look at what nature does out there, nature is powerful. And if you understand what's going on in nature, you understand the cause and effect of every reaction that you're doing out there in nature, then you can understand how to get the power that you need to, that we call electricity. See, it isn't that we don't have enough power, it's that we're not using it properly. We've never been using it properly since the very first started, when Edison was running his DC current and Tesla brought us into AC current. Now we're about at the stage where we're getting ready to go into a completely and utterly different form of energy with a completely indifferent description, physics, and a name for it. So, you know, I did a few experiments, and I was able to do some things with a 9-volt battery that science pretty much told me wasn't even possible. You know, I made a lot of people mad through my journey in mad science, because why do I call it mad science, first off? I call it mad science because when you stand back and you look at the big picture of everything, and you know what you've been taught in school by the indoctrination center that is the dark arts of science, then they tell you one thing, and then later on down the line, you can't question that, but you just have to memorize it and do what you're told and believe what you're told nonetheless, because that's the rules. So anything outside of that, then you're a heretic. You know, so the mainstream scientists would listen to me and they would think I'm just nuts, which is fine. It's all well and good, you know. We know what ferrite cores are used for. We know what laminate cores are used for. And essentially, we know that effect that is called the eddy currents basically is a way to generate heat. So we can actually take and utilize that one of the so-called laws of physics. See, the laws of thermodynamics, which I'm going to have to Google up here so I can quote this properly. Let me see here. I'm going to type and talk at the same time. Laws of thermodynamics. And let's see what they say about the laws of thermodynamics. The first law, also known as the law of conservation of energy, states that energy cannot be created or destroyed in an isolated system. The second law of thermodynamics states that entropy of an isolated system is always increases. The law of thermodynamics isn't nothing more than a stumbling block. It's nothing more than a gate put up between those who might say that free energy is possible, because most folks don't understand the terminology of free energy. Free energy doesn't mean that you're getting out more than you're putting in. It means that you're taking everything that nature has already provided and you're utilizing it in an incredibly efficient manner in order to get its maximum potential and be able to use it to do work. And that's all I've been saying all along. Not trying to get out more than I put in. And I'm not trying to put in none and get some. I'm trying to show people how to literally take what is already available and utilize it in such an incredibly efficient manner that something as simple as a 9-volt battery can produce lethal charges of energy. Now, that sounds ridiculous. Now, who in the heck in their right mind is going to say some kind of stuff like that? That a 9-volt battery could literally produce some sort of massive power, you know, magically, using the dark arts, and, you know, be dangerous. Well, it's true, because, you know, with my science experiment just the other day, I nearly killed myself. I produced such high voltage that you want to talk about hurt. See, there's a reason why they call it hertz, because it does. It hurts. So anyway, it's not that we don't have enough power. It's that we're not using it properly. We've never been using it properly. We waste more energy than we produce. And knowing how electricity works according to the electron theory and everything else, that explanations of electricity and so on, there are certain effects that come into play. One of Bid's Lenz's law, and that pretty much says that whenever you push a magnetic field through a coil of windings, that it causes an effect to go in one opposite direction, and when you pull it back, it goes in the other direction. That process of going back and forth through those coils is creating a disturbance in the force, so to speak. And so that disturbance in the forest is what we call eddy currents. It would be the equivalence of a river running into a lake, and when you see the water rushing in, all this energy potential is trying to go in all different directions, which is creating these little whirlpools all over the lake. And so you got this mass chaos going as that water is pouring down into it. Well, the same thing applies with electricity. If you are inducing the current using a magnetic, a permanent magnet, which we'll get into magnets later, but if you're inducing a current and the magnetic field is fluctuating back and forth, north to south, and causing those lines of flux to shake the, according to the electron theory, shake the 29th electron loose on the copper atom and produce an electrical current. Well, in that process of going back and forth, you're producing these little spirals out in all different directions, and those are called eddy currents. And those eddy currents produce friction, which in turn produces heat and causes the whatever material you're utilizing to get hot. Stephen Gibbons in chat room says, good morning, Shaziz. Are you going all Yoda this morning with your dark arts and electricery with your new age fields around stuff? Just don't tell your pastor or will be exercise Lenz law in a demonic entity which can be rebuked in the name of the Lord Tesla. Oh, Stephen's cool, man. No, see, I'm a heretic when it comes to science, alright? And because basically when I was a kid and I was all up in the science class and they would tell me how things, you know, they explained things and how things supposedly work, and then I'd have a question and I'd raise my little hand up there and I'd say, yeah, well, what about this? What causes that? And they're like, you know, shut up and just learn the stuff, you know? Stop asking questions. You know you done created a ruckus whenever your doggone science teacher gets that look on their face like, you know, I wasn't taught this in school, but just read what the book says and go with that, all right? So if you've ever been indoctrinated in the dark arts of mainstream scientists, then you'll understand why I call it mad science out here. According to that article I read earlier, I guess I would be classified as a practitioner of the dark arts because of the way that the people out there believe that I shouldn't and people shouldn't have certain knowledges, that we shouldn't do certain things. Well, in the process of not being able to really study science, then you give a lot of people a whole lot more power than they should have access to over you, such as the power company, you know. They're producing that magic force that we call electricity, and it costs money, you know, depending on how much you use. Well, if that's the case and that's the way it's got to be, then maybe what's wrong with the mad science guy coming along and saying, okay, so maybe we can't get what everybody thinks, something for nothing or more than we put in or that kind of stuff like that. But maybe what we can do is utilize the energy in a more efficient manner. And what I mean by that is, a 9-volt battery has more energy potential in it than you can possibly imagine. It's the equivalence of water to steam. It's the equivalence of water to hydrogen and oxygen. Just a little small quantity of hydrogen and oxygen not only has an implosive, but an explosive force according to science. And so when you ignite them, you're playing with power. And that same amount of water, it don't seem like that much power. But then you take a look at the difference between water and mass and pressure and all that kind of stuff, and you start to realize that, wait a second, maybe water has a lot more power than I originally thought. Because you can pump small quantities of water way up in the air a little at a time, fill up a bucket, and the weight of that water can literally be used to cause something to rise. You can match a weight and you know, be able to lift according to its mass something from a high distance, because now you have the force of gravity and you have the weight of the water mass itself. And so he's saying, what happened? I gotta type in here for what are you talking about? Ah, I hit the wrong button. I always do that. Anyway, hang on a minute, folks. Raymond's asking a question in the other chat room. Alright, so anyway, so maybe there's those that don't want you to say certain things that like to interfere with our conversations and such. Alright, let's go. Everything went dead. I don't know what went dead. Mine's everything's working fine over here. And try to restart your stuff there. Let me see if I can get Raymond on here. Alright, so I have to, you know, making a doggone trying to type and talk at the same time is ridiculous. So, you're live. How's it going? What you talking about? What's going on?
Well, sitting there listening to your show, all of a sudden, I'm back.
Well, it must be your side of the doggone fence, because your Skype, I can barely hear you. But no, we're broadcasting perfect right now. So, anybody else in the chat room having problems with that? All right. So anyway, your microphone's skipping really bad, Raymond. Are you there? Alright, well, we got Raymond. He could still listen in and maybe get his microphone figured out. And so anyway, basically, when you talk about certain things in this world, people look at you all crazy-eyed. You know, like, for example, the very first result that I got about telling people I was going to talk about the dark arts on, yeah, Stephen said restart your stuff, man.
Me?
Yeah, you. It's yeah. I can hear you now. Yeah.
Oh, well, it went dead because I plugged in my antenna for my wireless headset.
All right.
That
cool.
Way, that way, I wouldn't have all this other background noise that you could hear. All
right. Cool. Okay. So anyway, where was I? Oh yeah. No, I can't even remember. I got distracted. Anyway, so when I started talking about, I was like, I'm gonna talk about the dark arts on the Mad Science Show. Boy, everybody's like, you know, like heading for the hills. Oh no, he's going into the evil realm. He's going into the crazy realm. Look, folks, let me tell you something. Moshe's ain't as stupid as he looks, because there is a method to my madness. These folks out there who indoctrinated all the children in school in the dark arts of mainstream science, they told them pretty much, you believe what's in this book and that's it. That's, you memorize it, don't question it. That's the question. That's the whole purpose. Because,
amen.
When I was in school, I had questions. And for having questions, you know, I think at one point in time, I probably even got a trip to the therapist room, because here's a guy asking questions, a kid asking questions. They ain't supposed to be asking questions. That they don't know how to deal with you when you ask questions. Because the book don't give the answers to the questions that I'm asking. And so now here I am still, I'm 52 years old now, and I'm still asking the questions. Okay, we know about eddy currents. We know how they're produced, and we know that eddy currents have a side effect that is heat. And so you could literally engineer the perfectly efficient electric heater. So why are we still using resistive loads such as tungsten elements or nichrome wire in order to use that resistance to generate the eddy currents that produce the heat? Why? And why are we having to shove so much current through there when it's not necessary to shove so much current through there? Well, the whole kicker is you're going to sell electricity.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, you're going to sell crude oil and all that kind of stuff. When I talk about a 9-volt battery having enough energy potential in it to do amazing things, I'm not talking outside of my neck. The fact of the matter is, it's not the amount of energy in there, it's how you utilize it. A 9-volt battery is powerful. I mean, it's powerful enough to kill you under the right circumstances. If you take a MOSFET or a transistor, a couple of MOSFETs in a really simple circuit that I posted. One is an IRF Z44 or an IRF 3205 MOSFET. And you take this MOSFET with something simple like 12 turns of wire with a center tap on there around a ferrite core, you can utilize that magnetic field according to the electron theory. You can use that magnetic field to induce a current through a coil of wire and literally produce lethal voltages. And all you're doing is taking this thing and either pulsing it really rapidly to get a high frequency, high voltage, or really slowly and get a higher current, lower voltage. I took basically the equivalents of a motor controller, a little cheapo motor controller, and a 9-volt battery, and I'm able to literally adjust out multiple different frequencies utilizing a motor controller, a MOSFET, a 9-volt battery, a ferrite core with only 12 turns around it, and then a coil out of one of the microwave oven fans that's already wound, pre-wound, so it, it's perfect for what I need to do. Not only was I able to produce a massive amount of energy, but I was also able to charge AC capacitors and DC capacitors, energize gas into the fourth state of matter, and do wireless energy transfer at the same exact time. So with that said, the mainstream science has some questions to answer.
So let me ask you a question. What is so dark magic or black magic? What is it you're doing that is dark or black or unknown?
It's wizardry.
You're going against
man.
What is known, and what is known is what has been taught.
That's
now,
right.
If you don't understand something and you don't want to learn what it is, then you can scare little kids by telling them it's dark magic. But the thing is, you're sitting here on this radio show telling that you've done these things that other people might think is dark magic, but you are trying to explain how you did it. You are a magician that is doing things that people do not understand, but you're trying to explain how you do it so that it is no longer dark magic. It's like, how do you keep kids from crying all night and getting them to go to bed at night? You tell them the boogeyman is hiding under the bed and he's going to get you if you get out of bed. You be quiet, you go to sleep, or the boogeyman will get you.
Man, that's...
Wait a minute. I got another one, good scenario here, and I love this one. Don't eat shellfish in months without ours. That saying has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, and some people still believe it, because at the time, it was not bullcrap. It was not dark magic. It was the truth. If you eat shellfish in months without ours, duh, you're going to die.
Well,
that was true.
The whole
theory was true before the invention of refrigeration. Shellfish spoil extremely rapid. Once they die, and without refrigeration, they spoil and they will make you sick, and they can very possibly kill you.
Well, sure,
but months without ours are May, June, July, and August, the hot months.
Well,
and
look. Scientific observation is what science is supposed to be about. And
right.
When you observe something and, you know, it doesn't necessarily match what the mainstream scientists want you to know, then you need to just know your place and shut your face, so to speak. Otherwise, you could be considered a heretic for suggesting that something
right.
may not be exactly as the school book said it was. You know, there's been through history, there's been a lot of people, a lot of scientists who use scientific observation and propose theories that weren't, you know, mainstream. And for that, they were considered to be heretics, and some of them probably were even put to death. And
right, right.
Luckily, we don't live in a world like that. But the thing is that when you want to talk about, you know, unburdening mankind, so to speak, and basically becoming able to work in harmony with nature, then there's a time when you got to put what mainstream science, you know, okay, cool. 30 minutes, we're going to have Patty in here. I need to get... I need to throw her smiley face up in there. I get distracted,
you know,
by Skype.
Here's this. In today's world, because of science, you have magicians that do tricks and this and that. They no longer call themselves magicians, which is a term of magic. They call themselves illusionists.
Well,
because they know what they're doing is a trick, and they know that most people, educated people today, don't believe in magic. They believe in real science, so they call themselves an illusionist.
Well,
they create an illusion that they're doing something, when in reality, it is based on pure science.
Yeah, according to science, though, science, when you ask science about gravity, they don't know what the force of gravity is, so they pretty much say it's magic, all right?
Right.
Whatever somebody doesn't understand can be attributed as magic or witchcraft or something like that. I'm not practicing witchcraft. I mean, that's what I'm just practicing common sense. When I see something and I study and I understand the mechanical workings of what nature's actually done, such as, you know, the wind blowing through. And there's so much going on while the wind is blowing that just completely and utterly misses the eye, because you don't see all the reactions that are occurring. There's so many different laws of physics going into play every time a gust of wind comes through, one of which is electricity. Electricity is produced by wind blowing through trees, by wind blowing across the ground, by wind blowing across the metal. The waves that are pushing across are actually pushing energetic forces back and forth. And it's the same exact thing that's going on in electricity. It's going on in water, you know, anything from plumbing. The forces of nature are easy to understand if you look at it from a mechanical point of view. I mean, earlier I mentioned the potential water. You know, if you take water, and we know that we can boil water into steam, we could raise that steam up to really high levels, run it through a condenser, and start filling up a bucket, and we can use that, the weight of the mass of the water when that bucket gets full, to literally lift some heavier object due to the forces that we just, you know, caused by putting the water that high up in the air. Water has mass, and so that mass can literally pull down, and using the length of rope and the weight of the rope, you can actually lift more than that bucket of water. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So
I see exactly what you're saying.
all I've been talking about all along is not trying to violate what they call the laws of physics. The law of thermodynamics to me is a literal, utterly, literally a joke. And I say that because the law of thermodynamics basically is a way that if you want to disprove perpetual motion or free energy or over unity or zero point energy, then the very first place you want to go is to the laws of thermodynamics. Because what thermodynamics explains that inside a closed system, that you can't get out more than you put in, and you can't get... you know, over unity or whatever, both of what I just said is the same. Nonetheless, it just frustrates me. But in a closed loop system, you got forces that are supposedly going to cause it to not be able to run continuously. But in reality, there is no system that is truly a closed system unless it's in a complete vacuum. And so with that said, even when you're running your transformers and getting your electricity out of there, that's not a closed loop system. Because those forces that are even the atmosphere that surrounds it are literally interacting with energy that surrounds the transformer. And the waste product that you're getting is in the form of eddy currents and heat being generated is by trying to force too much energy through any system. When you pressurize anything, it generates heat. That would apply with water, would apply with electrical currents or whatever. The resistance that you're going to come across by trying to force too much energy through a system is going to generate heat, and they classify those as losses. So the laws of thermodynamics is ridiculousness, basically put there to discourage anyone from saying, yeah, I got a perpetual motion machine, I got 0 point energy, I got over unity, I'm getting out more than I put in. And they even lump free energy into the equation, and free energy is nowhere near the law of thermodynamics. Free energy is nowhere near all the other, you know, people out there trying to say that you know, they're able to get more for less or something for nothing. And we're not saying that. We're saying that the wind is free energy. The sun is free energy. The earth itself is free energy. You're surrounded by a sea of free energy. And it's not that we don't have enough energy. It's that we are not using it properly.
It's exactly. As simple as that. That's where you and I are no magicians. We are illusionists. We make people think that there's free energy because there truly is. Oh.
Well, science proves it. Science yes. proves it over and over and over again. And for me to be on the mad science realm, see, look, I tell you why I call it mad science. Mad science to me is because whenever I'm sitting there in school and they're telling me one thing, and then later on down the line they're trying to tell me another thing, such as global warming / climate change / climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up, I was told about certain things. I was told that certain things had certain properties. So if you tell me that CO2, which is two oxygen atoms connected to one carbon atom, is heavier than oxygen, and then I ask the question, if that's the case, then how is it that oxygen can only go so high in the air? If 10,000 feet is the highest you can go without supplemental oxygen, how in the heck is it that this heavier mass is able to get up there where oxygen can't go?
Hey, I got an idea. What about when they used to teach kids in school? And, I mean, we're talking years ago that the Earth was flat. And now, all of a sudden, we have thousands, we have millions and millions of people that know it's not flat. But we have a few people that still believe it's flat. Duh, because the old books said it were. Wait a minute, I got one more. A heavier than air machine cannot fly. Duh, birds are heavier than air.
Yeah.
They fly.
But
okay, so somebody in school and a teacher said, a heavier than air machine cannot fly, and this little kid is sitting here looking out the window and he's saying, wait a minute. Hey, teacher, the bird's flying, and it's heavier than air. Well, that's a bird. That's different. God gave him the strength. Wait a minute. God gave me a brain. Why don't I build a Boeing 747, and then we can fly? Because I've got a brain that God gave me, and I can figure out how the bird is flying.
All right, listen.
All right, go ahead.
On the whole flat earth versus round earth thing, this is my point. This is my point exactly. As a mad scientist, I can't confirm nor deny the shape of the earth, whether it be flat or round, until I actually physically do the scientific observation myself. And so with that said, it ain't about faith in somebody else about, whether or not they've done the scientific test. For me personally, to be able to tell anyone beyond a shadow of a doubt that the earth is flat or round, I gotta get back, and I gotta, hold on, let me finish.
Go ahead.
Get back far enough where I can look at the earth, and I can see for myself, look, it's a sphere, alright? Or I got to do the mathematical equations or the test in order to be able to confirm or deny. So, I couldn't care less whether the earth is flat or round. It doesn't matter to me. It's a distraction.
Wait a minute.
It's of no consequence.
Wait a minute. You spent years in the Navy, didn't you?
Yeah, but what's that got to do with it? I didn't get far enough.
Wait, whoa. It's got to do with the fact you don't know that the earth is round. You don't know how to prove it. It's been proven to you over and over again for years while you were in the Navy. You watched a ship sail off away from you. Later, you watching that ship, you can't see the ship, but you can see the mast on the ship. Later, you can't see the mast, but you can see the flag on top of it, proving that it's going downhill, it's going around a curve. That ship sees you the same way.
But if you got a P900 camera, you can zoom that sucker back in and see it all from many miles. Yeah, you can. I see it.
No, you cannot. Because it's around the curve of the earth.
Sure you can.
Light travels in a straight line.
Sure you can. There's a lot of video evidence out there of people taking P900 cameras and basically zooming right back into the same thing that went supposedly over the curve. Now, there's two possible observations here. One is their mathematical equation was wrong and the earth is so much larger than originally done, or literally the flat earthers are right and it's flat. But once again, I can only see physically 3 miles. Alright, I can see the horizon out 3 miles. That's the maximum. And everything out to a certain point when those points come together, I can't distinguish what that is out there. So for me personally, I don't care what everybody else says or what they believe. For me personally, until I do the mathematical equations, until I use the actual scientific observation, I can neither confirm nor deny whether the earth is flat or round. To me, it is nothing more than a distraction away from what it is that we could actually be accomplishing. And so, the only reason why I even give any credence to any of that argument is because I like to see these people actually using critical thinking in order to try to prove their case one way or another. So, to me, I'm not interested enough to find out whether the earth is round or whether it's flat. That's not my priority. My priority is taking people out from under the bondage of what mainstream scientists has basically put roadblocks in front of them, so that they can't get out of the doggone cage.
I can prove the earth is round to anyone that believes it's flat if they have enough money and enough time to do what I tell them to do. And that is get yourself a plane that will travel a little bit more than 1,000 miles an hour because the earth rotates at 1,000 miles an hour, but that's the surface. So if you go above it like a mile, then you're going to need to go a little bit more than 1,000 miles an hour. Now, if you get the right speed, the sun will never move. And you will go around the earth and come back to the same spot you took off if you fly in a straight line horizontally to the equator. Parallel to the equator. How can you possibly go around a flat object?
For those who want or even care what shape the earth is in, there are so many simple things that could literally be done in order to basically do measurements and prove or disprove it. But I don't care. I honestly don't care whether the earth is flat or round. That's to me, it's another stumbling block that was put out there by, you know, two different factions of humanity to argue or whatever amongst each other to keep the masses distracted away from the truth of what's really happening in the world. I don't care whether the earth is flat or not. I don't need to be proven that it is or isn't. I don't care. What I care about is the fact that people are literally being taught things in school, and then later on down the line, they're being told things that contradict what they were taught in school. You know,
right.
When I talk about electricity to people, they don't understand what I'm saying because their school knowledge, the school of dark arts that indoctrinated them into thinking inside the box as opposed to outside the box, or even with one foot in the box and one foot outside the box so you can pay attention to both sides and get the best knowledge, they just can't handle it. If I tell a modern day mechanic that you can run cars, according to science, you can run an internal combustion engine on water, they will go straight to the law of thermodynamics and try to prove to me why it's not possible. So the flat earth and the round earth is the same thing as the laws of thermodynamics. It is nothing
Agreed.
More than a brick wall, a stumbling block to keep people from going further than what science tells them is possible. You have
right.
to believe science. Science is the preachers of the dark arts that want you to tell. They want to tell you how the world works. You don't ask any questions. You just memorize it, and then you are considered to be educated. Well, if that's what education's about, I'm glad I'm uneducated. I uneducated
really?
Myself. And so when I talk about electricity and I tell people that a 9-volt battery has just as much power as a coal-fired power plant, oh, you're a heretic. No, it does not.
The first law of the conservation of energy says you cannot create nor destroy energy. Wait a minute. Any statement that is not complete is wrong. And that statement I just made is wrong because it was not complete. The complete statement is you can neither destroy or create energy without destroying or creating.
Well, I'm fixing to prove to the world that electricity isn't even close to what the school book says.
Right.
And the way that we use it is completely and utterly improper. I know why a magnet has a magnetic field, and I know why eddy currents are created. I know what electricity is, and I'm going to hold my tongue until I actually put it on paper and submit it to many universities in order to get the credit for a discovery that I believe somebody on this planet already knows.
Wait a minute. Before people think I'm stupid, I want to correct myself. I said that wrong. You can neither create or destroy energy or matter without creating or destroying the other. In other words, you can generate energy by destroying matter. You can generate or create matter by destroying energy. You can change it. You can't destroy it. You can only change it. Like you take a piece of wood. It's a part of a tree or a bush or a plant. It has absorbed the energy of the sun and made it into a carbon-based product. Duh, now you cut it down, you dry it, and it burns and gives off that energy again. You neither created nor destroyed one without creating or destroying the other.
Well, the First law of thermodynamics, according to the laws of physics, states the first law, also known as the law of conservation of energy, states that energy cannot be created or destroyed in an isolated system.
Right.
Now, there's a whole key here. Whenever they talk about you can't get something to run under its own power, they're talking about an isolated system. And we're never trying to get something to run under its own power. This is why, because people don't understand the laws of physics, and they don't understand why it is that they can't get their electric generators Like if you take an electric motor and you hook it up to an electric generator, generator head, then you put power to that that electric motor to spin that generator head. They can't understand why they can't loop it back into itself and get it to generate its own power and keep on running. Well, that's because, that's because the law of thermodynamics pretty much says that it's not possible in a closed loop system. But if you took that same system and instead of relying on, and then being able to understand the lens effect and eddy currents, then you can literally use an outside force such as the wind or solar to supplement that system and get it to run by itself. But because of the terminology, you can't never call it perpetual motion. Because according to the definition of perpetual motion, it has to run and start under its own power. So that right there is why everybody keeps saying perpetual motion is not possible. And I couldn't care less whether they believe it's possible or not. If that thing, whether it's got an outside force and an inside force in conjunction with each other, if it runs for 100 years, that's perpetual motion in my book. And I don't care what the definition of perpetual motion is. It continues to run, and it will produce energy as long as it's running. It will tap into what nature's already provided. There is the stumbling block that put it on the table why the patent office will not accept any perpetual motion over unity or free energy device. And so that cheats humanity out of all the potential of working in perfect harmony with nature. Period.
Right. Exactly.
Hi, Patty. How you doing?
Hey, I'm trying to get things settled. I'll be right there with you.
Cool.
Hey, you know, Shaziz, what you're talking about, I believe it. I believe everything you said because you've not said anything wrong and you've not done any black magic. So let's do some magic or illusionist and say, well, if we burn a piece of wood in a wood stove to heat our house, if we get up close to that wood stove, then we're going to get a lot of heat. But if we get over in the corner away from the wood stove, it's going to be cold. So let's do some illusionist. Let's build a Stirling engine and put it on the stove. Now, a Stirling engine works on a differential of heat and cold. Differential of temperature. So now all of a sudden you've got this Stirling engine that's absorbing some of this heat, and it's operating a fan, blowing that hot air because the heat is going through the Stirling engine, but it will not work unless you get the heat off the other side. So you're not losing any heat. And now it's operating a fan that's blowing that hot air throughout the room.
Well, say now.
Heating the whole room. Oh, wait a minute. Let's carry this scenario one step further. The cold side of the Stirling engine. Let's put a Peltier device there. Now, a Peltier device, if you heat one side and cool the other, it's going to make electricity. So now we have a wood stove that's burning wood, creating heat, and it's operating a Stirling engine, which has to be cooled on the other side. So now you've got this Peltier device on the cool side, and you've got this fan blowing the cool side of the Peltier device, blowing the heat off of it. Now, all of a sudden, you're taking that same piece of wood, you're heating the room more efficiently, and you're creating enough electricity to run an LED so that you don't stub your toe on something, and you can walk around the room. Now, you've got all this free energy. Come on, man, it's not free. It's an illusion. What you're doing is using that piece of wood more efficiently. That's it. That's what you've been doing all along.
Yeah,
and that's what you're trying to explain. But it's not black arts. It's not dark magic. It's simply using your cotton-picking head.
But nonetheless, it is still completely and utterly free energy. It came from nature, and when you burn it, you actually end up with more elements that are more fuel and more uses. And it goes hand in hand with the conservation of energy.
Because the ashes from that piece of wood can be used to make soap.
Yeah.
Come on.
And more.
Yes, and fertilizer.
So welcome to the world of mad science. That's what I've been trying to say all along. See, people think that I'm trying to do some kind of dark magic or whatever and show that. No, I'm just trying to buck the system that is basically the system of the dark magic. You know, that's why whenever Patty gets back, I can't wait, because Patty has not been indoctrinated into the dark magic of mainstream science. So she knows nature. She's well versed in nature, and that's what her knowledge base is on the Mad Science Show. She knows how nature works because she paid attention. She paid attention right. In school, just like I did, just like Raymond did. So all the mincing of terminology and all the different things that science and education teach, and I'm talking mainstream science, the dark arts, all right?
Right.
I'm bucking the system, so that makes me a heretic. But see, if I know how a laminated core works, and I know the purpose of that laminated core, I know what I can do with this thing. The reason why they make these cores laminated, as far as soft iron cores, they will take a piece of metal and they will insulate it and then stick it to another insulated piece of metal and stack these so that they reduce the losses of eddy currents, basically keeps it cooler. It's like a heat sink for a transformer, is what a laminated core is. The ferrite core, because of the materials that it's made of, and is non-conductive. See, the metal core has to be insulated, because if you happen to look at one of these cores and you feel it's got a really smooth surface under, it's actually an insulation, just like on copper wire, because that will take and transfer electricity through it. It'll be conductive, and more conductive than a ferrite core. A ferrite core is used because it is less conductive, and because of the materials that it's made of, it is able to do the same thing and cause the saturation point of the magnetic field to be focused and be able to get the uses out of it. Well, knowing this, I now know how I can literally utilize those same forces to produce a super efficient electric heater using eddy currents. Because I know what eddy currents does. I know how they're produced. If you watch a river run into a river or a stream run into a lake, stand right there at the opening where the river's actually running into the lake and watch, and you will see little whirlpools being created in all different directions as that water pressure is being forced into that open body of water and interacting with that energy force that's in that water. You will see little whirlpools. That is eddy currents. That's what's happening. When you're pushing that energy from your battery in through those coils, the same thing is happening on the surface of that copper wire, and the surface of that ferrite core is absorbing all that energy that is being reacted upon by the force that you're trying to force in there, and it's focusing it. That's how we're able to produce an electrical current. And so with that said, you know that cause is going to happen. So if you want something to spin around, put it right there at the doggone entrance of where the stream is coming in, so I can get something to go around in circles right there. I already know that cause and effect. And with eddy currents, I know that because of the material that I'm running this electricity through, grab any transformer and you'll notice that it's hot. If you take away the insulation from that transformer and you reach over and touch same said transformer, you're going to get a shock. Literally. Because now those currents are literally energizing that piece of metal as well. So the electricity is not just traveling from the coils of wire. It's a dead short. The coils of wire and the metal are interacting with each other. So they coat these things with deal so that they are non-conductive, or at least reducing conductivity, and they're stacked so that they are basically acting as a heat sink. The transformers are warm to the touch because you've got an induction heating going on, because you've got these coils that are surrounding it, and that magnetic field in the center of that coil is compressed. And when we know that when you pressurize something, or compress it, it gets hot. So what I'm saying doesn't violate any of the scientific rule. It doesn't defy scientific observation. It takes scientific observation and it uses it in order to be able to figure out what else that I can do with this particular deal and in a more efficient manner.
Right. What else can I do with this to use it more efficiently?
Yeah. So we know we can take electricity and we can produce eddy currents. And if you take like a potentiometer or a variac or motor controller, you can speed that up and slow it down to its sweet point and get heat out of that thing without destroying it. Everything has a thermal breakdown, all right? And once it thermally breaks down, then it fails. So I can run a transformer and get exactly the amount of energy that I want out of it without ever causing that thing to produce the eddy currents, because I'm only flowing the energy through that is not overpressurizing the system that is producing the effect that causes the heat in any material. So what do you think?
You're right. You're 100% right. You are not a magician. You're an illusionist. An illusionist takes what's there and makes people think that it's something else. But you're not doing that. You're taking and explaining what you're trying to do. And what you're trying to do makes a lot of sense if you understand the laws of thermodynamics.
Yeah, and there's
it
even...
makes a lot of sense.
There's even ways that you can tell which direction the current's going by the way that you're pushing the magnet through the coil, you know, the
exactly.
Right hand rule or left hand rule, whatever the heck you want to call it, doesn't matter.
Right. Righty tighty, lefty loosey.
But either way, you know, if you pay attention to what's actually going on and you know the cause and the effect of certain deals, then you can take those cause and effects and you can literally make things so much more efficient that you wouldn't be wasting all the energy. If you're generating heat, then you're doing it wrong. Unless you're intentionally generating heat, then if you're intentionally generating heat, then you might as well do it at the most efficient manner as possible. And cramming a lot of current through a nichrome wire or tungsten element because of its resistance to electrical current flow, then that is the least efficient way to do it. And the electrolysis process for separating hydrogen and oxygen is the least efficient to do it. Otherwise, it wouldn't generate the heat that it does. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So when people try to tell me that you can't run a car on pure distilled water, it's because they have not paid attention to the law of thermodynamics. It's because they have not paid attention to basic science, and they don't have no mechanical understanding of how nature actually functions.
Right.
Science says that water is hydrogen and oxygen, and we know that those two separated, one will have an implosive reaction, and one will have an explosive reaction. And if you know which one, hydrogen is implosive, oxygen is explosive. So if you know those two forces, now you know which direction you want to, which gas you want to use in order to do what it is that you want to do. And since you know thermodynamics, you know that you can take this, instead of separating it, you can push the same substance through there and it will cause a cooling effect. So you can literally regulate the temperature inside the cylinder to whatever degree you want it to go. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I see exactly what you mean.
It's so ridiculously simple that it's ludicrous. And we know that we can pressurize it. You know, a liquid, you can't compress a liquid. So they use that bit of science in hydraulics. So we can put some liquid inside a pipe and it's sealed on both ends with exception of the gaskets or the seals, and then when you push pressure on the one side, you can lift a heck of a lot more weight than you could have with your bare arm, because you're using that force and leverage and compression, that fact that you can't compress a liquid, to push that out. And so we're not talking about shoving just pouring water down the cylinder. We're talking about taking the physics and basically heating up the water, turning it into steam, and then turning it into vapor, and then putting it into a cylinder, and then igniting the two separate elements that way. And if somebody wants to test what it is that I'm talking about, build you a hydrogen cell that does not have the plates down inside the water itself. All right? Take this hydrogen cell and make the plates as close as you possibly can get them together. I mean without touching, but as close as you possibly get them together. And using the electrolysis process, vaporize that into a gaseous state before it ever even goes through them plates. Heat it up, boil it into steam, vaporize it into a gas, and then send it through that hydrogen cell, and then put a small current to that and watch yourself produce hydrogen.
Very small current.
That's right.
Very, very small.
So, there you go, man. And that's what I'm talking about. And they don't want you to know you can run a car on water because they want to sell oil, for Pete's sake. You know, it's that simple. If I want to sell you a door stopper, I don't want anybody knowing how I make it.
Right.
And if you're smart enough, you can look at my door stopper and just put one of your old boots in front of the door and call it a day. Or go outside and get a rock out of nature and stick it by the door.
No, they'll make that illegal.
Oh, hello there, Patty. I'm glad you're here because you're needed at the Mad Science Show. You want to know why?
I have no clue.
Well, because you have a mechanical understanding of nature. You're well-versed in nature, and you haven't been indoctrinated into the dark arts of science. The dark arts of science.
That's true. But I still don't. I don't even see where you know, I find it really hard to compare myself to you and Raymond because, you know, I've been listening to you for so long, and it's taken me a long time to understand concepts and stuff, and you and Raymond, Muddy, all you guys just kind of blow me away.
Yeah, but you paid attention in school. You paid attention to what nature does, and so when we need to find out what nature's up to, we come talk to Patty. That's science. That's real science. Patty has made scientific observations in nature. She sees the cause and effect of what happens. You can tell us about things whenever you notice that when you were younger, things used to look like they were cleaner or whatever, and then suddenly these people started using this particular chemistry, and what it did to nature was take away from what nature was, you know, meant to be doing. You see what I mean?
Well, yeah, I do have that knowledge, I will say. I did want to bring something to the forefront today because it's very interesting, even though this has been out since 2016. Did you know that the Tesla papers were released by the FBI?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they released the whole vault, I guess. I have links if anybody wants that. If you don't want to go through the FBI, I've got some other file sharing links that
Well, I'd definitely be interested in that because Tesla was a genius, you know. For whatever people like to try to say, he's a crackpot, he believed in UFOs and blah, blah, whatever, you know.
Well, one of the things, you know, was his death... The death ray, right?
Yeah. I made a death ray video just for that purpose.
Yeah. This is the thing about it is that his ability to see nature as energy, you know, and to be able to take that and apply it to principles in the real world of technology, you know, he merged the two.
Yep.
He brought the two together. This is the brilliance that we need. There is so much more, Shaziz, like you talk about all the time, that we don't even conceive because we don't even go there. We're so set in the fact that, well, when I flip this switch, my light comes on. So therefore, I have electricity. I don't need to go any further. They don't, there's never a connection between, but what is this doing to my health, my family, and the environment's health? They never go there. And there's a direct correlation between the petrochemical world and the need for this energy and the harm that it is doing to all of us. The frequencies that they use, everything that is being used is anti-natural.
Yeah.
They take everything and they reform it into a science of ridiculousness.
Nature.
I want to say idiocy, you know?
Yep. And nature says, nature gives you warning signs that you're doing something wrong. If it hurts,
yes,
it's wrong. If it gets hot, it's wrong.
Right. Exactly. And if you see, and anybody who is awake that wakes up in the morning and can open their eyes and can see and can hear, knows that we're on the wrong path. That the technology being utilized today to bring energy is wrong. That it is detrimental to our health and every other living thing. So if we know that there's a possibility that we got it wrong, and we know that there's a possibility that we could get it right.
That's right.
You know?
That's the
you
way
know, I like
should
what
like
Patty's
that.
Saying. Patty's talking about nature, okay? Now, man has rules. But those rules are rule of thumb. They're generalization. Like, for example, water doesn't run uphill. Well, if water doesn't run uphill, why are there rivers to come down mountains and create waterfalls? Because water runs downhill. Gravity pulls it. But where did that water come from? Nature put it up there. Duh. Magic. The sun shines on the ocean. The ocean evaporates, goes up into the air as a mist. It's blown around by the cloud, it goes over land, cools, condenses, and rains on top of the mountain.
And then man...
It's nature, it's not magic, and science has done studies to prove that water does run uphill because the sun can take it up there and drop it down as rain.
That's right, and then man uses their laws of physics to literally put a hydroelectric generator at the bottom and get free electricity.
Exactly. It's an illusion.
Huh.
It's a law of physics and man-made rule of thumb. You can make anything impossible simply by removing all possibility. You can make anything impossible simply by removing all possibility.
Well, ferrite cores are put together for a purpose. Those things are literally the best things to build transformers out of.
That we know of.
That we know
that
of at this point.
That we know of.
But nonetheless, at this point, that's why they used in electronics, because of their efficiency. The laminate cores for like higher currents, they're basically heat sinks is all they are. That's as simple as that. They allow the saturation point to focus a magnetic field. And, of course, when I'm using this terminology, such as magnetic fields and what was the other one I was using?
Eddy currents.
Yeah, well, that too. But anyway, basically, it's a way to focus the energy. All right?
Okay.
And so... we're able to basically focus that energy that we want and produce the electricity that we want. And we know that if we didn't have these things built the way they were, that they would get too hot, and then that would cause a thermal breakdown in the coil. And the coil and the core itself would basically send energy to each other, because nature is always trying to balance itself out. The effect that we get that we call electricity is nature's reaction to a cause that we just put electrical current to, and produced a reaction that nature tried to balance right back out. And the more we do it, the hotter it will get, and eventually it will fail.
What you just started off saying about the ferrite, this, that, and other, and that is the most efficient way of doing things now. Wait a minute. I just said the secret word. Now, at this time, by the understanding of electricity and how it works, at this time in history, this is the most efficient way to do it. But, again, I'm going to say it one more time, at this time.
Yeah, well,
somebody,
that's why...
somewhere is going to find a more efficient way, but they're going to be called heretic, lunatic, and mad scientists until they do. And then when they do, they're going to say, oh, wow, look at that.
That
it
is
works.
Why... That is why there needs to be more mad scientists like old Shaziz, because
that's right.
I'm willing to question the norm. I'm willing to say, look, if this is the effect that you get, why can't you use this effect in a more efficient manner? I mean, if I understand eddy currents to the point right now where I'm literally telling you that if instead of using a nichrome wire or a tungsten element for an electric heater, why don't you use those eddy currents? You know how they're produced, and you know that you can produce them at small voltages all the way up to extremely high voltages and high currents. You can literally melt steel using eddy currents. And the pressure that you get from a magnetic field is what causes this. If I put, and somebody can test this too. If you take a laminated core off of a transformer, and you take a solid metal rod, and you put it down inside of an induction heater, you will find out that that solid metal rod is literally going to melt before the laminated core. Why is that? That's because it's the way it was designed. It reduces the eddy current effect, and so therefore it won't get as hot as quickly. Now, it's going to melt eventually because the temperature of the metal, each one of these laminate cores are going to get the metal hot, and when it finally gets to the temperature of the breakdown of the insulators that's put in between each layer, and it melts off that insulator, so you'll see this one here smoking before it actually begins to melt. You see what I mean?
I do.
So, you paid attention to nature, and you paid attention in school of nature, Patty, and you know that there are certain things that, shouldn't be done, such as, putting too many chemicals on plants and such, because those plants, it's not just the plant you're affecting that, like pesticides, for instance. They're killing off other little bugs that are important to the scene, that, are no longer around. You see what I mean?
Well, we got a perfect system
that
we've done our best to screw up. I mean, you're talking about free energy and stuff. You know, if we wanted to be real, if we wanted to actually prove, not you, Shaziz, I know you're real, Raymond, I know you're real. I'm talking about the established energy systems. If they wanted to be real, then they would stop arguing that there is no free energy, because every time there's a lightning storm, you have free energy. You didn't produce that. Nature produced that. You have the sun that produces energy nonstop, has for how many millions of years, all of this is free energy. You can't define it any other way. And it produces free energy by the systems in nature itself. The nature of the sun, the nature of the earth. All of this is a given. Anybody who thinks that there is not free energy and tries to argue that, the first thing that comes to my mind is they're lying. Or either they just don't understand. Or
don't
know
what they're
talking
about. People exactly.
To understand.
See, you know, according to the laws of thermodynamics, which I'm telling folks out there, and which is making me a heretic into the mainstream science, because I was, when I was younger, I was indoctrinated into the dark arts of science, alright? Because they told me what they wanted me to know, alright? Well, the laws of thermodynamics are simply there to say that, perpetual motion, which is another term that is used as, taboo word, so to speak, that, the law of thermodynamics explains why perpetual motion isn't possible, is because it's all supposedly in a closed loop system, so it's not possible. But if you take a look on the big picture, you step back and you look at the Earth itself, according to science, the Earth is still spinning. According to science, there's still energy coming from the sun. According to science,
that's perpetual motion.
You know, there you go.
They say that power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. They also say that a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, but a lot of knowledge can be a whole lot more dangerous.
That's right. Well, that's why they also said inside there that on that one deal that I read earlier, let me jump back to the chat room so I can get the right quote in there. It was basically, to paraphrase, it was... About knowledge, here it is. The dark arts are science, discipline, magic, or martial combat style note that is deemed by society in general and the establishment particularly a bad idea. In other words, if there are things man was not meant to know, you can expect someone to have thought it would be cool to make an easy-to-read how-to book on it. So, essentially, I'm making a how-to book with all these podcasts on how to do what science says can't be done. And I want to do it in perfect harmony with nature, because I understand when I make nature mad, nature's going to make me uncomfortable. It's as simple as that. So I can get the heat I need by using the physics that I was taught, the basic science that I was taught, and my scientific observation of nature, such as what Patty's done. Patty's been paid more attention in the school of nature than I have up to this point, and I'm just now trying to catch up to her. And I've realized that when I work in harmony with nature, I get wonderful things as a result. When I work against nature, nature puts me back where I belong. You know? I'm supposed to be a caretaker, not a destructor, and that's what we've been to this earth. We've been destructors to this earth. We're not taking care of it, and we want to be cool in our house. We want to be warm in our house. When it's cold outside, we want to be warm inside. Well, we can do that in perfect harmony with nature, with learning everything that we've learned from the school of nature, and even from the doggone science. You know, if you stick your finger in fire and it gets hot and it burns, you pretty much ought to learn the first time. Don't do it a second time. You see what I mean?
Right. I see exactly what you mean. Oh, Lord.
If you don't
burn your house down in order to get warm in the wintertime.
Yeah.
You don't have any wood. You go outside, you tear down the porch, and you burn it in the stove and heat the house. I mean, come on.
So when is the mainstream science and mainstream medical and energy industries and all that kind of stuff, when are they going to stop treating the symptom and actually produce the cure? And right. I'm here to produce the cure. Patty's here to produce the cure. You're here to produce the cure. We're fed up with the way that the system is. And people...
You know, back in the early 50s, they found a cure for polio. And they cured thousands of people from polio. And they made a vaccine to where people would not get polio. In 1953, the medical industry of medicine... big drugs, pharmacies, got together and said, that's it. That's it. We will never, ever produce a medicine to cure any disease. We will only produce treatments. We don't care how many people die. We just need to make money.
Well, and the key to that...
And that was in 1953.
The key to that...
Think about this. since 1953, name one medicine that has ever come out that actually cured a disease.
Well, there wasn't none except in the alternative energy world, the people that paid attention in nature school. But the whole purpose of that on the medical side and this on the science side and on the energy side is all about control and financing. It's as simple as that. You can't put it any more simpler than that. They want to not tell you certain things, because if they tell you certain things and you understand that you can generate electricity on a simpler and more efficient manner using the things that we're talking about, well, that's not going to make them rich, is it? It's not going to make them powerful. Money is power, and knowledge is power, and all that kind of stuff combined makes for a corrupt government, a corrupt system, a corrupt... you know, when you can't trust a mainstream scientist to tell you the truth, then you got problems. Now, so
what
you go to the mad science school.
Power corrupts.
Yep.
Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Perfect example, Norfolk, Virginia, back in the 60s, 70s, whatever, spent millions of the taxpayers' dollars building a plant that would take the sewage from the people that they were charging to get rid of their sewage and turn it into natural gas. They spent more millions of dollars converting all city-owned vehicles to burn methane gas.
Well, there you go.
The plant
man.
Operated for 2 to 3 years, and they shut the plant down and lied to the people and said, hey, it costs too much to maintain it. It's so corrosive.
You
but
know
the
why?
People believed them because they were the government.
You know why?
And the thing is, the people did not stop and think that all of the gas lines that ran through the city were underground and running through the same daggone pipe, and they had been there for 40 years.
Yeah, you know why they shut it down?
This pipe was only open for 3 years.
I'll tell you why they shut it down, because a guy like me would point it out. That's why they shut it down. Look.
They shut it down because somebody's brother-in-law, son, son-in-law, found a way to buy gasoline cheap to sell it to the city to make money. It was all about money. It wasn't about the corrosiveness. It was somebody in the government with power and pull figured out a way to make money by shutting that plant down.
Sure, but still, a guy like me would point it out to the average Joe, say, look, you got a septic tank. You could turn that into fuel to heat your house.
Yes, you can. And fertilizer to fertilize your garden.
And you can't have that if you want to sell somebody fuel.
Exactly.
This whole thing about the gasoline industry having scarcity and supply and demand, it's all a scam. It's been a scam all along, trying to say that we're going to run out of oil and we got to get these companies lots of money so they can go out and look for more oil, and we got to fight with the Arabs over there in the different places because they got oil and we need that oil to survive. It's a hockahooey because we didn't need their oil. We didn't need our oil.
All we have to do is just quit giving them money for the oil, and we do this. We trade a bushel of wheat for a barrel of oil. It's just that simple.
Yeah,
we
but even
the wheat,
that,
they can't.
Even at that, if we took our oil, what oil we do got, which is more than we'll ever use, but if we took that oil and we use it in an incredibly efficient manner using physics and science, we could take that oil and get, instead of a couple 20, 30 miles to the gallon, we can get a couple 30 to 100 or 300, 400 miles to the gallon off the same amount of fuel, because that same concept that I said, a 9-volt battery literally has enough potential to produce lethal voltages, it applies to water, it applies to every type of fuel under the sun, including the sun. If you took the energy off the sun and you use it in an efficient manner, it's putting out, look at these solar arrays that people got. They got massive solar arrays. One of those solar arrays could literally run an entire town, but yet it's only running one household.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yes, I do. I see exactly what you mean.
The whole key is that it's not that you don't have enough energy, it's that you're not using it properly. And if you've got a 5,000 watt inverter that is literally producing enough heat that it literally ends up destroying itself, then you're doing it wrong. If you take that same energy, instead of trying to run it through, cram it through an inverter, force all that energy that's coming in through that inverter, and you use it properly. I took a 9-volt battery, a motor controller, a MOSFET, and a ferrite core with 12 turns with a center tap on it, and a coil out of an electric fan, and I was able to not only use this at its greatest potential, but end up producing enough energy to come out of there that would nearly killed me the other day because I shot the living dog snot out of myself. I charged AC capacitors, I charged DC capacitors, I energized gas into the fourth state of matter, and did wireless energy transfer with one 9-volt battery. That violated every bit of the law of thermodynamics.
You know, I'm getting old and I can't remember things as well as I used to be able to, but I swear, so help me, I can see you getting shot because I've been there before and I'm with you. You and I both were playing around with high voltage.
I got lit up.
What really ticked me off is you do it when I didn't have the camera on. Daggone it. Do it again. Do it again. No, no. Well, I got the camera on. Do it again. No, it hurt.
Well, to be able to get that much electrical current with the force that we believe to be electricity, that we call electricity, out of something so small is mind-blowing. Now, you
yes,
know you can take a 3 to a 5 to a 9-volt battery, and you can get millions of volts of electricity, high voltage, out of it. But
yep.
Did you know that you could take that high voltage pressure, and you can push it backwards through a microwave transformer and actually build up current as well?
Yep.
So, that also goes against the laws of thermodynamics. Because you're supposed to reach a point of entropy at some point in time.
You know, I've got a question that I have never put out actually in words, but it's been bugging the heck out of me for years. They build all these power plants, fossil fuel plants, nuclear power plants, blah, blah, blah. But if you look at the size of the plant, and the energy it's producing, and all the houses and businesses and industries that are around that are using that electricity, you stop and wonder, are they really burning that much coal? Are they really burning that much natural gas?
I don't believe they are. I believe that
I'm wondering, have they already figured out how to harness this free energy, and now they're selling it to you?
Yeah.
And what's wrong with that? Wait a minute. What's wrong with that? They figured it out? They built the system. Now somebody needs to pay them back.
Sure they did. They took Tesla's information, what Tesla showed, and using the Earth as a large tank circuit, right? And
so why do they need to lie to ordinary people that are educated and understand? Duh, you're using free energy and you're selling it to us. Well, duh, that keeps me from having to spend that money to build the same plant in my backyard.
That's right. They want you to buy it from them. They don't want you to
know. If they told me they were getting it free, I would still buy it because I don't have the money or the knowledge or the experience to build that free energy device. It takes money. It takes knowledge. It takes skill.
Well,
to build anything to convert free energy into usable energy.
That's
a solar panel. It collects solar energy and turns it into electricity. Okay, so you can buy a solar panel.
That's why I chose to prove my point using recycled materials and junk. Because if I can do it with recycled materials and junk, then the average Joe can do it with recycled materials and junk. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So don't let the whole I can't afford it or I don't understand it thing convince you that it's not possible for you to get free electricity. Start paying attention to nature. You'll learn nature will show you what nature does when things go awry. I did a video here a while back that I talked about duckweed and watermill. And I couldn't stand it when I saw the stuff. My pond was all green and nasty looking, and I'm like, I got to figure out a way to get rid of this. So I go out and I started doing some research on it. And then suddenly the squeal of brakes came on, and I said, screen, and a light bulb popped on. I said, hold on a second. I get it. I understand what the heck is going on. That farmer over on the other side was using a lot of fertilizer on his crops. He was also using anhydrous ammonia and other chemicals to make his crops grow big. Well, all that runoff from that water is what fills my pond. And that pond now was so incredibly nutrient rich, and it basically started in the system where nature had to bring it back into balance. And so duckweed and watermill began to take over my pond, and it just, this stuff will double. You can sit there and you can work at it and work at it and work at it, unless you got a machine to pull it off rapidly and do it every so many days. That stuff will double every 24 hours at the least. And watermill, even worse than duckweed. That stuff will rapidly, I mean overnight, that stuff will double in quantity. And that's because nature is trying to take what would have been the normal chemistry of that pond and put it back in to balance again. And so,
you know, the thing is, there are things that eat that.
Well, sure, fish eat it. People can eat it if it's cooked right. And
it's fertilized for the fields.
So yeah, you're getting free food. Everything. You're getting free fertilizer to grow duckweed. Now all you need to do is put enough fish in there to take care of it. And all of a sudden, you become a secondhand vegetarian.
Was you trying to say something, Patty?
Well, I was just saying, if we look at the current system of agriculture, it's adverse to the benefit of everyone. The reason why they use herbicides, the reason why they use pesticides, the reason why they have to fertilize is because they've stepped away from the natural way of the way that life forms and the way that life grows and the support of one ecosystem to another ecosystem. The soil is the life of everything.
Yep.
If the soil is dead, nothing that comes from it will bear the fruits and the nutrition that are healthy and life-giving. Therefore, for convenience, not, you know, they tell you, well, the reason why we had to do this is because there's so many people to feed. Well, nature doesn't grow in rows. If you look in nature, things grow where the soil provides the nutrients that those certain things need. And everywhere across this earth, there is soil, right?
Yep.
Except for in the Arctic or the Antarctic or whatever. But what I'm saying is that if you look at nature and the way that nature provides, it's perpetual. We're talking about perpetual.
Hey,
this is part of it.
I can prove what you're saying. And if anybody's willing to test this theory, you'll find out that I'm right. The soil is actually from leaves and sticks that had biodegraded over time. And so, you know, if you watch every summer or every fall, people will rake up their leaves and they'll put them in bags and they'll send them off to landfills and such. Don't do that. Nature needs that to replenish the nutrients in that soil. Everything gets recycled into the system. I don't even rake up my grass clippings when I mow my grass. Some people do because they want their grass to be clean and tidy and such. But you'll note that those folks work harder and have to use all kinds of outside fertilizers in order to get that grass to grow greener and thicker. I got a field out there that I have never raked grass in. I only mow it down to the size that I want it to be. I leave the grass clippings on the ground, which then in turn is degraded by nature and turned into what? Fertilizer and fresh soil. And so I have a beautiful lawn out there in that old, what it would have been an old cattle field.
Well, and there's, it's even more than that too, because if you look at nature in areas, there are certain types of things that grow.
Yep.
The reason being is because there are certain types of organisms in the soil that live off the droppings of these environments. In other words, the certain types of trees, the certain types of plants that die and go into the soil produce certain types of microorganisms that feed on these specific things. That's why specific things grow in specific areas. These are ecosystems that are complete. There is a science that is deeper than any knowledge that our current science has ever come up with. It is a pure science. It is a complete science. It has never been at a disadvantage. It never produces wrongly. The only thing that does is...
You and I had a conversation the other day, and you said something brilliant in that conversation. Are you still there? Did I lose you?
I'm here.
Patty?
I'm here. No,
okay.
I'm here.
You said something brilliant in that conversation when we were talking about how was introducing minnows into the pond in order to try to get it back into balance, and then you found out that when you did that, all the birds and the snakes and the turtles and everything converged on that area. And that's one of the reasons why, if you have an insect problem in your neighborhood, it's because somebody else had run them off over there. There ain't no food source over there, but in your yard that you keep all nice and clean and tidy, there's plenty of food, so hey, party's over here. They're going to come over there.
Well, yeah, and the real thing about that is the pond that was built itself. It grew itself. We dug the hole, right? And we watched as nature came in and did its work and provided its own ecosystem. I and my friends screwed it up because we thought, hey, we'll just introduce some fish into this system. We'll go buy minnows and we'll drop them in the pond and everything's going to be great. Well, we upset the balance because all of a sudden there were too many fish in the pond.
Yeah.
Fish
yeah.
were dying because we had overproduced in that pond. So nature said, hey, now I got to clean up your freaking mess.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the turtles were there, the snakes were there, the frogs were there, the birds were there, and they corrected our mistakes. Nature knows what to do.
Hey, Patty, Stephen Gibbons said in the chat room, he said, did Patty say nature is perpetual? That's against the law of thermodynamics. So impossible. My line of squiggles proves it, and he's got a bunch of squiggles down on the bottom. So that's the equivalence of the scientific equation that says that nature can't be perpetual. Oh, that's Stephen.
Don't you just love him?
Yeah, he's
good. I stand not corrected.
But nature is an amazing self-contained biosphere of epic proportions, and all the power we ever needed is there, and we can if we use it properly. If, for example, I was talking about my experiment with you, Patty, and I told you that the MOSFET, it didn't get hot. The battery, it didn't get hot. None of the circuitry got hot. None of the cores got hot. None of the coils got hot. And I was even doing wireless energy transfer, and nothing got hot. Because I was using it in perfect balance of what it was meant to do. And whenever I unplugged the thing or turned it off, nature would balance it out instantaneously, and the reaction would stop. So I was able to use what we would have been using normally in a super inefficient manner called electricity, and that's where all the waste comes in. That's where you got all the eddy currents that cause the heat and lens effect that causes while nature's trying to balance itself out, you produce one field, nature will produce a second field that will try to fight with the first field to put it back into place again. And once you understand that, then you know how to guide that energy where you want to go. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Just paying attention is all it takes.
You know, that's what one of my pet peeves is how science or scientists try to harness lightning bolts and lightning, electricity. And Patty mentioned lightning a while ago. It's energy.
Yeah.
And it's produced by nature and it's free. Duh. forget the lightning bolt, take the energy from the sky before it actually is a lightning bolt.
Yep.
Lightning bolts don't waste electricity. They make nitrogen. Okay? They create forest fires that burn off brush. We just got through saying that ash is fertilizer.
That's right.
They learned in Florida not to try to fight it. They learned to deliberately set small fires in small areas every 4 or 5 years and burn off the underbrush. That underbrush, if it's a small fire, the trees don't burn, but the underbrush does, and it creates ash. So they'll take a 15, 20 acre area and burn the underbrush off this year.
Yep.
Another big 20, 30 acres place, they'll burn the underbrush next year. But they do this in such a manner that it's only every 4 or 5 years that they do it to this one piece of land. And everything, it helps balance out nature.
Well, the funny thing about it is, if then things get overgrown, nature will do it herself.
Yes. She'll create a lightning bolt and start a fire.
See,
how did we ever, ever, ever exist before modern technology?
Yeah,
I mean,
really.
Geez.
Exactly. Letting nature do its thing and working with her, not against her.
Patty, you're the mad scientist of nature. And I say that because you see what nature does, and nature needs no improvement, so it makes you mad when you see the arrogance of mankind destroying what nature's already done perfectly. I'm the mad scientist of energy, because I say that there's an easier way to work in perfect harmony with what Patty's been researching. And, you know, Raymond, he's into mechanical physics and stuff, and he knows there's a better way. So he's the mad scientist of mechanical physics. He produced the two-stage oscillator, and all he's got to do is push his little finger out there and push the deal to get it going. And he's raising up a heavy weight on the opposite side, and he's saying, look, nature taught me how to do that.
And I even hooked it up to a generator, so that weight that it picked up, when the weight came down, it actually turned the generator, making electricity, charging a battery. Everybody kept wanting to argue with me and say, it's not creating energy, it's not generating energy. All the energy is going back into the machine. No, it's not. It's going into that battery.
Well, you could have produced enough energy on the other side of that, where that weight and mass was coming down, to literally run enough voltage to run a solenoid to replace your finger.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, look, I've seen hundreds of videos on YouTube where people take a generator, alternator, whatever, hook it to an exercise bike, and one guy actually produced 140 watts of electricity for 3 minutes. Now, at the end of 3 minutes, he was wore out, exhausted, and sweating his crazy head off, okay? With the two-stage oscillator, I produced 140 watts of electricity for 2 hours and 40 minutes and never broke a sweat.
Well, you know, something as simple as taking, instead of the length of the pedal, the bar that holds your pedal on your bicycle, if you extended that length double or even half longer, then you would have more leverage that would make it easier to turn that doggone bicycle.
Exactly.
Well, there's so many systems, I mean, that you can use in unison with nature that are non-obtrusive, like a Pelton wheel. There are so many different ways of working with nature to utilize what nature provides freely. There's no reason that we should be using this antiquated really obsolete way of petrochemical transfer of energy to use. You know, you don't have to pull anything out of the earth and build machinery to change its molecular structure in order to be able to provide electricity. There's no reason we have to do that. There's no reason that a car cannot run indefinitely on energy outside of oil. Everything that we have runs off of petrochemical. Everything that we buy is produced from petrochemical. It doesn't matter what it is, a plastic cup, your pots and pans, they're all produced using petrochemicals. That's the way the world runs right now. And everything that is produced from this petrochemical that has been molecularly changed winds up being a toxin in the environment.
Yep.
Once it's been produced. There is no reason for us to do this. There's never been a reason for us to do this. Yet, it's the only acceptable way to do things. We have to ask. Why?
Marty, I'm not really disagreeing with you, but there is a reason for doing it. And the reason is money.
That's
greed.
Yes.
That's
yes.
all.
Well,
there is a reason, but it's greed. And it's wrong.
We got the technology right now to build amazing electric cars. We also have the technology to make them electric cars run for longer distance. We have the technology to literally make those electric cars run indefinitely without any outside power force other than the sun itself.
Exactly.
Because all we need...
You know what's the tell, the big tell? Is that we have people like you, Shaziz and Raymond, Muddy, Steven, all of these people, all on YouTube. I mean, there's so many people working on ways of producing energy and stuff. And we have a system that says, well, we're working on electric cars and we'll have them in about 5, 10, 15 years. We'll have to charge you more to buy these cars, you know, the Tesla
why?
Cars and things like this. And
why they have to charge you more? I know
because
why.
They're still using oil to produce these. They put
right.
electric
and,
car
and
on the road, but you still got to buy gas for it. What?
The thing is, it's money. It's an excuse. Like they shut down that methane gas generation plant using not free. They were getting paid by the people to take their crap and turn it into gas.
Well, like the guy who had his car running on water.
Nope.
Ooh, snap that guy up, you know?
Yeah.
Where'd he go? Oops.
Well, the whole thing is they're not going to give us electric cars that charge themselves because they want to put in an infrastructure that you have to pay for the electricity to charge that car.
Oh, what about the guy that everybody says it's a myth? The guy that took some pills. They were white crystalline pills. Went to Washington, D.C., got a couple of congressmen, and said he has these magic pills, and he drained his gas tank, filled it up with water, threw these pills in there, and took the congressman and drove completely around Washington, D.C. two or three times on just these little crystalline pills.
Like Alka-Seltzer?
Yeah.
No, carbon tetrachloride.
Well, see,
you put carbon tetrachloride in water, it makes methane gas. I mean, it makes acetylene gas. I'm sorry. We used to have a acetylene gas generator in the backyard of American Sheet Metal.
Well,
they quit using it because it was cheaper to buy the gas already produced somewhere else. It was cheaper and safer, so they started buying it in bottles. When somebody come up with the idea of making just a plant just to make acetylene gas and put it in bottles. Well, now you didn't have to use this methane gas or acetylene gas generator in your backyard, duh, so that plant just sat there for years, and eventually we needed the room. So they paid us to tear the thing down and discard it. But my point is, duh, it wasn't magic. The man just knew. An automobile will run on acetylene gas. I know, I've done it several times.
The dark arts of the mainstream scientists put the laws of thermodynamics down there. The four laws of thermodynamics define the fundamental physics, quantities, temperature, energy, and entropy that characterize thermodynamic systems. Thermal equilibrium, the laws describe how these quantities behave under various circumstances and forbid certain phenomena such as perpetual motion. So they don't want you to know something could potentially be perpetual, And so they strategically put a bunch of words into place that says, you can't do this in an enclosed system. Well, idiot, I'm not trying to do it in an enclosed system. I'm trying to allow nature to do what nature already does and utilize that force as the nature balances itself back out to get some work done, such as heating my toast.
You know, back in the 1920s, coal miners, we used to wear a little metal thing like a canteen on their side, and it had a pipe that would run up to their helmet, and in the front was a little lamp, and they would simply open that little container, drop a couple of crystals of carbon tetrafluoride. That's why they call them carbide lamps, right? They drop a few crystals in it, shut it down, and light the gas that came off of it, the acetylene gas, and that way they had light to see how to dig coal out of the coal mines.
Well,
1920s! And then in the 1950s is when this guy says, well, daggone, it'll burn. Will it burn in an engine? Then he tried it and said, oh my God. So he got a bunch of stuff and made some crystals and goes, I'm a magician. I'm magic. I've got these magic crystals and I'll fill my gas tank up with water and throw these crystals in there and I'm going to run it and I'm magic. Magic my butt. He's an illusionist. He didn't tell what he was doing.
Well, in World War
One, you tell what you're doing, Chaziz.
Yeah, in World War One and World War Two, in order to save on fuel, they put a system in the back of pickup trucks and stuff called wood gasifiers, because they knew that they could get a reaction by instead of burning wood, they could actually heat the wood up and cause it to gasify, and it would off gas a flammable material that they could run in their engines. And so they knew way back then that it was possible. And as far as using hydrogen technology, that's not new technology. Back in the old days, they used to take and get the tractors up to operating temperature and inject small quantities of water in the cylinders when they were at the operating temperature and be able to run their tractors to save fuel. In the airplane industry, they had literally put systems in there that would give the engine a boost that you could only run for a few seconds, otherwise it would destroy the engine because it had too much power. They would inject water into that doggone thing and get from a stall to, you know, a takeoff in no time flat. So all the technology that we're talking about isn't hoodoo voodoo. It's all proven science from way back in times before. You know, there was electric cars back in the 1800s. Right now, we should have electric cars that recharge themselves because the technology's there. Science already proved it's possible. But the
we got a golf car.
Yeah.
All you have to do is pick up an old book of encyclopedias, and they will tell you 1878, they had electric automobiles.
Well, I'll tell you what, go
1878.
Go out and find an edition, which I have. I have an edition that's called New Audell's Electric Library, and you will find things in that that you didn't even know existed. It is a brilliant it's like a dictionary set that's called Audell's New Electric Library, and they had Audell's for mechanics and all kinds of other stuff. So look for the one that says Electric Library. They got really nice leather covers on the front with lightning bolts down the side of them, and it shows in there things that about electricity that you wouldn't even imagine. And that's all good reason why you wouldn't imagine it, because you weren't taught that in school.
What's that old saying about you could fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time? And that's exactly what this show, the Mad Science, is all about.
That's right.
We're trying to educate the people so that fewer can be fooled all the time.
Raymond?
Yes,
Raymond?
Ma'am.
We have a question in the chat from Anon9977, and he'd like to know, how difficult is it to make these pills that you were talking about?
Very, very simple. The thing is, it's too expensive. Gasoline is cheaper. But it's very simple. It will work. It's carbon tetrachloride. And all you do is get a pelletizer, like they make, okay, they take hay and alfalfa and different blends of organic grasses, and they chop them, dry them, very, very dry. They chop them all up really fine, and they run them through a pelletizer to make rabbit pellets that you feed your rabbits. They make the exact same thing, but they make it much larger. It's roughly 3/4 inch in diameter and 4 inches long, and it's called cattle feed. It's just simply a pelletizer, that's all. You take the crystals, you grind them down into a powder, and you run them through a pelletizer. It's a very simple process, but carbon tetrachloride is more expensive today than it was back then because people don't use it. If they used it, then they'd mass produce it, and it would become a lot cheaper.
Yep. Well, you know, here's the thing, Raymond, is if we sat down, if you, me, Shaziz, Muddy, Stephen, all the people that we know that are looking for new ways, are creating what nature, you know, mirroring nature and using nature, if we sat down and we decided, hey, let's make a book of possibilities, how big would that book be?
Oh, Lord. All the libraries in the world couldn't hold it.
I know. Isn't it amazing?
You'd have to put it on a CD. You'd have to put it on CDs or DVDs. You'd have to.
And how amazing is it that we have this much knowledge, real knowledge, applicable knowledge, that is not being put out in the mainstream sciences?
Because somebody has not figured out how to make money out of it.
Exactly.
We're trying to give away free energy, free knowledge, but yet nobody's doing it because they can't figure out how to make money doing it. And the thing is, the common, ordinary, everyday person can make money. Saving a penny is making money. If you figure out how to take your solar panel that is giving you free electricity from the sun, but yet now you build something on the backside of it, because a solar panel becomes 25 to 30% more efficient if you cool the backside. Well, now all of a sudden you close off the backside and you let water in it. That water will absorb the heat from the backside, causing your solar panel to be more efficient.
Producing more electricity,
but now all of a sudden you got to cool this water. No, you don't. Hot water rises, cold water falls. So you let the it's called thermal siphoning. So the hot water rises and it goes into a tank. The water in the bottom of the tank is cooler than the water in the top of the tank, so it comes down and replenishes the cool water in the backside of your solar panel. But at the end of the day, your solar panel's not making water, hot water. So you have check valves in this line. Now you have a big old tank full of hot water. In the summertime, you don't need the hot water. So now you start drawing the heat off of that tank and running it through a Peltier device or a Stirling engine, making electricity, which just doesn't make a lot. But at night, you don't need a lot. You just need enough to run your refrigerator and your nightlight so you don't stub your toe. Duh, in the wintertime, you've got all this hot water to heat your house.
Exactly.
At night. When you really need to heat. Think about it. It's just simply using the same energy more efficiently. That's all.
Right. There is another reason, too, though, besides money. It's the control factor.
Absolutely, Patty.
If people were not having to be reliant on the system to provide them with their needs,
that's why they passed laws that in certain areas you cannot have a wind turbine. In fact, Louisville, where I live, the big metropolis city of Louisville, Texas, there is a law that you cannot use wind power by any means to produce electricity. Duh, Shaziz said it earlier, the wind blows. Okay, every flagpole on every government piece of property in the city limits of Louisville is grounded, because if it wasn't, it builds up static electricity, and if you touched it, it could possibly even kill you. Yet they pass a law that you cannot use wind power to make electricity. Yet their flagpoles are making electricity. Their power poles, they're very fast, over the past 6 or 8 years trying to replace all of your wood telephone poles with metal poles. And every one of them is grounded because they build up static electricity enough to kill a human being. So they ground it. They're throwing this energy away.
Well, that's why I am a heretic in the dark arts of science, and I am into mad science, because mad science is good for nature, it's good for the people. You know, I'm not a, in the world of IST, I'm not a, what do you call that, doggone it? I'm a realist, alright?
Okay. I'd like to clarify that law that they passed. They don't call it a law. They call it it's in the building codes anyway.
A regulation ordinance.
It's an ordinance. That's it. It's not called a law. It's called an ordinance. In that ordinance, I didn't completely I don't know the exact wording, so I can't quote it. But it says you cannot use wind power to generate electricity and or mechanical energy. Now think about this. Every piece of government property in the city limits of Louisville has bushes. They have trees. And the wind blows and the leaves move and the roots suck the water up the tree and the water evaporates through the leaves. And that cooling effect of the evaporation, that cool air falls down. People stand under a tree and they think they're cool because of the shade. Well, they are. But they're also cooled by the evaporation of the moisture. So they're getting free air conditioning. This is mechanical energy. And the ordinance says you cannot produce electricity or mechanical energy by any means of wind power. Yet the city of Louisville is in violation of their own ordinance more than 25,000 times.
Well, that's why I made it my mission here on Mad Science to point out the hypocrisy of the mainstream indoctrination system that is the dark science. Because what I'm seeing here, when I say stuff like I don't care about current watts and amps, boy, I tell you what, the school book kicks in and people get violent. I mean, they get frustrated. I talked to my science teacher. I questioned the teachings of the science teacher. Suddenly, I'm in the doghouse.
Right.
I'm saying to the world that electricity isn't even remotely what you think it is. The electron theory, which I used to explain how electricity works according to the school book, is only for the understanding of those folks that don't really understand anything outside the box. But I don't even believe that the electron theory is correct. I believe that the energy, there is energy that surrounds every single object on this planet. And whenever you manipulate that energy, when you interact with that energy, you get a reaction such as rubbing your feet across the carpet and then touching your brother on the ear. All right? Well, sometimes the reaction may not be go so well because your brother ain't going to like getting shocked by 1,000 volts of energy coming out into your finger, and so he might sock you in the eye. So for every action might be an equal and opposite reaction in a bad way.
Right. Or he might even go put on his nylon socks and walk across the carpet and suck them up behind you when you least expect it and slap you on the ear with his finger.
Well, but I've got cats, and I get shocked on a regular basis. Yeah. You know.
But see, I know exactly what electricity really is. I know exactly what that energy is that surrounds every single object out there. But I'm not saying a word because of all the abuse that I've taken over the years. I'm going to wait till I put it all in document form. I'm going to submit it to every single university on the planet. And I'm going to get credit for something that I finally did all the research and my hard work coming here. And I don't mean financial credit because I couldn't care less about money. Money causes a lot of problems, even though it's useful for certain things and research. But I want to put something out to the world that the world should have known all along, and that would have benefited them to the extent that we wouldn't be hearing global warming, climate change, climate disruption, and all the other crazy stuff like the hole in the ozone layer and stupidity that comes out of the mainstream science's yapper. Because
it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
It does.
Nature is in control. And when you figure that out and you know how to utilize the forces of nature properly, you will be able to generate more power than you'll ever be able to use in an entire lifetime and then some. It's that simple.
Well, the thing, yeah, and the thing that we've got going on right now, the changes that we are seeing in climate, there are natural reasons for this. And,
yes.
If we don't pay attention, if we keep on this fallacy that it's your breath, your freaking breathing that's causing this bad, bad person, and the cows are farting and they're causing this bad, bad cows.
I love that.
this is craziness, because there are things that we need to be doing. This is a cyclical thing that is happening. And we need to make the preparations that we can make to deal with this.
Yeah.
Things are going to change. They are changing. And then on top of this, not only do we have the natural cyclical things that are happening that are completely natural that we cannot change. We cannot change them. We have to learn to adapt to nature, keep fighting it. But yet we have a system right now that is capitalizing on this natural cyclical thing in order to get more money, to get more money. And what they're doing is they are actually interfering, mitigating in some areas, making worse in other areas, just to be able to say, hey, see what's happening?
That's why I did the video called Caveman Killed a Dinosaur, because they was trying to tell me cow farts was causing global warming, and I'm like, okay, I'm going in the cork business. you put a big old cork in one end and a big old cork in the other, because, the cow's going to burp too. If he can't, fart, he's going to burp. And so you got to put a cork in both ends, but that's why I have to put a disclaimer on the cork that says if you get knocked out by the cork, that I'm not held financially liable. You see what I mean?
Yep.
Safety caution. Don't wash your hair while drying it with a hair dryer plugged into the wall.
Hey, Shazam, do they have any chicken houses, big industrial chicken houses around your way?
Not that I'm aware of, but I know there's a lot of chickens around here.
Yeah, but you do know that they do have them all over the United States, right?
Yeah.
Well, ever so often they have to clean those things out. Now, they use what's called rice hulls. When rice grows, it grows like wheat and oats. It has a seed, and the seed is covered with a hull. You get rid of the hull, and you eat the pulp that's inside. Well, rice grows the same way. So those hulls, they used to burn them years ago because there would be so much in Louisiana. And it just happened to be that J.B. Hunt, when he was a truck driver, was driving down the Interstate 40, I believe it was, and he saw this smoke off in the distance. When he got into a truck stop, he asked somebody, what's all that smoke? Well, they're burning rice hulls. And he got to thinking. The man was a genius. He got to thinking, and he went out and looked at these rice hulls, and he thought, wow. People are paying money for bedding in these chicken houses. I'll bet this would make good bedding. So he got hold of a biologist, come to find out the rice hulls were better bedding than what the chicken growers were using. So he had the rice growers pay him to haul these hulls off. And then he would turn around and sell them to the chicken raisers cheaper than the normal bedding they were using. So he was making money. The rice growers were getting rid of their product, okay, without having to take the time and the safety precautions to burn it. He came and hauled it off for them. And then the chicken growers, they were getting a benefit because they were getting better bedding for less money. Now, here's the whole phenomenal thing. The chicken growers never realized that all these years, they never realize these chickens are pooping on this cotton picking of rice hulls that are organic. They clean their houses out, and they have a hard time getting rid of this stuff. where it really, if they dug themselves a pit, put them in the pit, filled it with water, put a plastic barrier over top of it, they would collect the methane gas, run an electric generator because the chickens' houses have to be ventilated winter and summer. The heat from the bodies of the chickens creates more heat, and it kills the chickens.
Yeah.
The poop creates ammonia gas, and that has to be taken out of the air, so they have to run these ventilation fans. They could rot down the rice hulls and the chicken poop, make methane gas, run their electric generators to run their equipment, use the heat off the motor of the methane gas to heat their damn house.
That's
Excuse
right.
my French.
Look,
I mean, come on. They're not using the energy that they're buying and paying for properly. That's all that I'm getting. That's all I'm trying to say. They're not using it properly.
Everything out there, every animal, every living being out there produces free energy on a regular basis. Man, I had chili yesterday and produced a whole lot of free energy. All right? People didn't like it, but...
I mean, man, come on. They're throwing the stuff away.
Well, that's what that
actually, some people are actually paying other people to haul their free energy away.
Yep.
Well, you know what they used to heat with back in the day when the cattle farmers, what they used, right?
Yeah.
Right.
They'd go out and collect the cow patties.
Yeah, and then when it dried up, they burned like a log. Pardon the pun.
Man.
This is such a brilliant show. I am loving every split second of this show. Because we got a mad scientist of nature, we got a mad scientist of energy, we got a mad science of physics and mechanics, and we're sitting here putting out to the world some brilliant information that you got to share this with people, because this isn't just talk. This is proof of concept. It's science. It's physics. It's everything all wrapped up with nature being able to work in perfect harmony with nature. Nature produces no waste. Mankind wastes so much energy that nature gives us access to enjoy the luxuries that we enjoy. And if we want to work in perfect harmony with nature and stop, cutting our nose off to spite our face, if we're worried about the climate, if we're worried about the environment, then it's up to us to take all these bits of knowledge that we've been sharing on the Mad Science Show for years and make it so. These guys and gals out there who own these power companies and oil wells and fuel industries and so on and so forth, the energy industry, all of it combined, including the solar, wind, and everything else like that, these folks know what we're talking about is true. Otherwise, they wouldn't come out here with their trolls, and they wouldn't come out here with their regulations and try to shut us up. We're sitting here telling people in this world that you can do things in perfect harmony with nature, perfectly efficient, that you don't have to cram all this energy in to get the same result to keep your house warm and hot. We just use basic physics and basic science to show. Science says that heat rises and cold air falls. Okay, what can we do with that? Raymond doesn't explain some of the things you can do with that. You can take water and you can manipulate the structure of water to cook your food. You can use it to heat your house. Back in the 1800s, they used radiator systems. They had boilers. They'd boil the water and they would send the water through radiators, piping, plumbing throughout the entire house. And they would produce more energy than they were using. Proof of concept is you'd get this thing called a water hammer. The pressure would build up in there, and you'd hear.
Have you ever heard the term anaerobic septic system?
That's
where they rot down human waste in a septic tank to the point that the water that comes out of it has no odor. And they put a pump on it and spray it over your yard.
Well,
duh, that's wasted energy. Now, if you build the system correctly, you can collect the methane gas off of it. You don't need to pump it. You just simply need to put a drain field system out to where and let gravity coat the clean water away and the fertilizer. So now all of a sudden, you take your own human waste, which you bought and paid for the food. Now you've got your body's used the nutrients out of it, and you're going to take your waste and turn it into fertilizer and fuel to heat your house.
Yeah, and
well, some of those principles are applied to the Earthship housing.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Well, the water hammer that I was trying to talk about, basically another powerful force that can literally bust pipes. And
right.
People have learned how to take that water hammer effect to heat water in such a incredibly efficient manner. There's a video out there where a guy is using, what do they call that, where you basically spin water up. There's a term for it. Cavitation.
Yes.
All right. Okay, well, they built a drum that has a bunch of holes in there, and by spinning it through a water through it at like a pump, it produces a literal water hammer effect that in turn produces steam out the other side. So you're taking an electric motor, spinning a drum that has holes in it that is agitating the water to the extent that it turns around and produces steam.
Wait a minute. I've got a very, very simple experiment that almost anybody in the United States can do to prove to themselves that what you're talking about is true. Take 1 pound of water, put it in your blender, measure the temperature, turn your blender on high, wait 20 minutes, and measure the temperature again.
Yep.
Now, 1 pound of water, 1 degree, is 1 BTU. And you will raise that temperature of that water at least minimal 40 degrees. That's 40 BTUs of energy in 20 minutes. But the proof is that what she is saying is the truth. And you can prove it to yourself by simply putting the water in your blender and turning it on for 15 or 20 minutes, and the water will get hotter. And if you leave it longer than that, and if you insulate the sides, you can actually cavitate it till it boils.
Well, you can replace a coal-fired power plant. You can replace a doggone nuclear power plant. As long as you understand what it is that they're doing. A coal-fired power plant uses heat to basically boil water into steam pressure that it then in turn turns turbines and produces electricity. A nuclear power plant uses highly refined radioactive rods to do the same process. While the highly radioactive rods are decaying, it's releasing energy that's acting with the equivalence of what your microwave oven does. And so you could replace both of those systems with a system that if you had a, let's say hypothetically you had an electric motor that only required 40 watts to run. You take this 40 watt electric motor, you spin a drum around that's built up to develop the cavitation effect that then in turn produces the water hammer effect that in turn produces the friction, which in turn produces the heat, and you can produce the same amount of steam that you could then in turn turn turbines to produce electricity. So using the sun and some battery banks, you could have this thing running 24 hours a day, and all it's doing is spinning up water to cause it to get hot, like Raymond's example of inside of a blender. And
right.
Another proof of concept is what farmers have been doing for years. In order to keep their cattle ponds from freezing up in the wintertime, they put these things out there that have fins on them, and when the wind is blowing, it keeps the water agitated. And as long as the water is agitated, the friction is enough to keep the water from freezing. So, in my mind, it's ridiculously simple. And why I call it mad science is because they're going about the hard way. They're using the laws of thermodynamics to try to convince us that there is no easier way, that there is no such thing as free energy. But with the laws of thermodynamics, the structure of a ferrite core, the effect that is the eddy currents and the magnetic core, technology that we use for our transformers and such, every bit of that tells me that if you use it properly, all these effects can be done such an incredible, efficient manner that you barely have to put any energy in. Energy is powerful. If you utilize it properly, you can do it in perfect harmony with nature. If you utilize it improperly, then things break down. Man, going to try me to drink it, Patty.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Well, you know, the first law of nature, the proof of nature, that nature works better. If you try to step outside of the grid, if you try to step outside of the a system that's set up, like the people in Florida who were told in no uncertain terms after the hurricane came through and destroyed their electrical grid for how long? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? They had their own solar energy. And they were told that if they continued to use their solar energy to provide themselves with electricity, that they would be fined and put in jail.
See? That's proof right
now,
there.
That's control. Control.
Yes. Yes.
That's proof
you
right
know.
There.
You don't understand what you're asking. We're engineers. You're asking us to defy the laws of nature. You don't understand, engineer. We are the government. We will change the law. Duh. What school did you go to?
Well, you can always trust
exactly.
your government.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can trust them to,
yeah, right,
to
right.
take everything you have and produce nothing for you and then charge you.
Well, Patty,
we're going to pass an ordinance that no one can make electricity or mechanical energy by use of wind power, and yet they're doing it themselves,
Patty,
every day.
When?
They are in violation of their own ordinance over 25,000 times, and they don't have enough brains to figure out that they are doing it themselves.
Yeah, Patty, whenever I was in the Navy years ago, there was this saying that fits everything that we're saying right now. The saying was, if the shoe fits. If the shoe fits, it's not the one the Navy issued you.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. You know, people are being fined for collecting rainwater. People are being fined for having ground wind generators, for having wind generators on their houses. And you have a system that's saying that we need to stop using electricity at the rate that we're doing it. And these people who are telling you that and saying that we're going to start charging you for being alive are the ones flying these jets back and forth to their mansions,
yep.
these other countries, to these committees, to all of this stuff. And they're standing there telling you you're bad because you want to use solar energy when there is no electricity because their grid went down.
Wasn't it Nancy Pelosi that was put in charge of the EPA? And during the entire time she was in charge of the EPA, she was flying from Washington, D.C. to her home in California every Friday night.
Yeah.
And every Sunday night she would fly back from California to Washington, D.C. in a jet. And it was only her, a pilot, a co-pilot, and a stewardess, and her. Four people on this great big jet.
I tell you what.
So she could go home on the weekends.
If we had a fraction of the budget that they waste on a regular basis trying to maintain control over the people, we could sit there and literally design the perfectly efficient house that even the siding itself would be generating electrical power that would produce to keep you warm and cool and all that kind of stuff. We could use all the basic science, all the known physics, and we could literally make that house. Heat rises, so we'd put our heaters in the floor. Cold air falls, so we'd put our air conditioner in the ceiling. We'd utilize all the forces that we know, including expansion and contraction of any materials to produce piezoelectric effect, and so on down the line. The list goes on for infinity of how many different ways that you could make the perfectly efficient house that would not only withstand the forces of nature, but look good as well.
Can I add to what you just said about as far as if we could use a fraction of the money the government wastes? No. If we could use a fraction of the money the government wastes in one day,
Yeah.
We could not only do everything you said, but have money left over.
That's right. Sometimes it
have is, money left over.
Sometimes it is better left up to the people, man. You know?
There you go.
And Anon says in the chat room, see, Shaziz, I want to be like you guys. All of you do. The real problem with me is I have nobody at all to educate me, research and books, but I need somebody experienced with stuff that that's why I love this show. Man, you guys know what you're talking about. Well, brother, you know what? You came to the right place because you're going to teach us things as well. There's
yes.
things that you've researched in your life that we don't know about, and you can point them out as well. So you came to the right place. And the knowledge that we're sharing with each other is the way that we're going to make this world better. That's it. It's as plain and simple as that. You know, that's why when I put on there the dark arts, I make people nervous when I say, oh, I even got a comment from Raymond.
But yeah.
He was concerned about the dark arts because whenever you went to school, you were basically indoctrinated into the dark arts of mainstream science, wherein you were told that this is the limit you can go. You can't go any further. There's nothing. Don't think outside the box. Just memorize and do exactly what you're told, and you'll get along just fine. And we'll give you a piece of paper when you've done it long enough that says that you too are a scientist.
Right.
I was a scientist when I was 9 years old, paying attention in science. I used the scientific observation and been doing it ever since to test and retest and question the laws of physics and everything that was taught to me in science. And so now I have a mechanical understanding of what nature has done. And with the knowledge that I've learned from Patty and Raymond, I combine that knowledge together and I'm able to spot things out there and point them out to people. And so that's where those pieces of the puzzle came into play and made the big picture a possibility here on Shaziz Radio.
You know, I've heard so many times in my life, somebody said, well, why are you trying to invent something? Everything that could possibly be invented has already been invented. I don't try to invent anything new. I just try to figure out how to make what we already have more efficient. You can't invent anything new. Well, wait a minute. I'm not trying to invent new ketchup.
Oh,
all I
want
to do is figure out a better way to store it. Okay, for example, let's put it in a glass bottle. Okay, so they did that. Well, all of a sudden, it was hard to get it out. You had to shake it and shake it and shake it, or stick a table knife up in there and break the air seal. So somebody else come up with the idea, well, let's put it in a plastic bottle, so that way when we turn it upside down, we can squeeze it and it'll come out. And then it took years before somebody said, well, whoa, let's make the lid flat so it becomes the bottom, and we have this little flap. Now all of a sudden, it's already upside down. We take the flap, we open it up and squeeze the bottle, and the ketchup comes out.
Here's an idea.
I cannot figure out why people put their ketchup in the refrigerator. It's got a lid on it. It keeps the bugs out. Ketchup does not need refrigeration.
All right.
Well, even after you open it.
Now, you take this ketchup, you cook your hamburger, you put your cheese on it so it melts, and now all of a sudden you're going to take this ice cold ketchup and put it on your red hot hamburger. What the heck is that all about?
Patty has a question for you.
Yeah, okay, go ahead, yeah. Patty. I'm sorry.
Why didn't they just make a bigger mouth jar?
Yeah. Okay, Raymond, I got a question for you.
All right, go ahead.
How many vehicles you got?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, and so...
Five.
So you got employees that drive around all day, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, what's so crazy about the idea of, because you know that as you're driving around, you're going to produce a whole lot more energy than that truck actually needs to get to and fro. What's the problem with actually putting a battery bank in the back of that truck and using technology that exists so that while you're driving, the heat from that that truck is actually charging those batteries up, and then whenever you get home, you plug all these trucks in series with each other and run your shop with them.
That's very possible. I mean, highly possible.
Well, it's if not, you got a solar...
It's not just plausible, it is possible,
If you got a solar array, you're charging batteries all day, and then you're using an inverter system to turn that battery energy into energy to run your house. So if you got a solar array and you have these trucks, you charge your batteries up with the solar array while you're gone, or your wind turbines, and then while you're out driving around in your truck, you're also charging batteries using the heat, wasted energy from the vehicle, or even the motion of the truck going down the road. You're turning generators that is charging these batteries up, and so when you get home, you got more than enough energy to get you all the way through the night and then some.
All right, here's another aspect that you haven't touched on yet, but you're correct. You're absolutely 100% correct. But what about the pressure coming out of your exhaust? It's a known fact of any mechanic. If you take the exhaust manifold off of a truck or car and you try to run it, you're going to burn the valves up.
Yeah.
You need some back pressure. And that pressure could actually turn a pin and be hooked to a generator.
Yeah.
So
sure.
You could use the actual, and that would even increase the more efficient motor. Take your muffler off.
So essentially,
and use what's causing the back pressure, and take the muffler off and replace it with a fan that will give you the back pressure you need to keep the motor from burning the valves.
Yeah.
But then you're taking that a device that's causing the back pressure by turning a generator.
So essentially, you're turning your doggone car into a mobile power plant, because once you get to the other side, if for some reason the battery that starts your car doesn't work, you just like flip a switch and put some of that juice back into your battery from the battery bank that you just used from all the wasted heat that you had going on.
Right, exactly.
So folks, exactly. The answers are there. The solutions are on the table. They've been there, and we're here to point them out. That's what we do here. That's what we do best. That's why we're mad scientists. That's it, you know, because we're going against the whole
grain,
the indoctrination of the dark science of mainstream scientists that say there's only one way. You can't do this. It violates the laws of thermodynamics. That's a hockahooey, man. The laws of thermodynamics are just there to prevent people from even trying perpetual motion. Saying perpetual motion exists? Why not? Why not? The Earth's doing it. It's still doing it.
Because you're going to break the law.
Yeah, I'm going to break the law, and then somebody out there in a dark suit's going to come and get me or something like that. But I'm... Look, first off, the government's the one that pointed out the hole in the ozone layer that never existed. The government's the one that pointed out CO2 emissions causing the planet to heat up. They, regardless of what nature was doing, they found a deal to say that, hey, we need to put money to this so that you can be alive or whatever, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. And you're gonna charge me to breathe because I breathe out CO2. You're gonna charge cows, charge me if my cows fart, and my cows burp, or whatever. That's why I do what I do, man. That's why I put the doggone video out there. Caveman killed the dinosaur, because it's so ridiculous. If you think about a cow fart, then magnify that to what a fart from a dinosaur would have been like.
Oh Lord, have mercy.
Yeah, woo. Really.
Oh man!
Just think of the fertilizer.
Yeah. How much fertilizer could a dinosaur produce, man? All right. See, farmers have been using manure for years for fertilizer, and
yes.
So if you had a herd of dinosaurs and you capitalized on that fertilizer, man, you should have some giant plants to feed them giant dinosaurs.
Right.
You know, when people come out there and they try to tell me how stupid I am, I look at them cross-eyed anymore. It used to get on my nerves. It used to get me riled up because I'm like, I paid attention in science, right? And
right.
They're telling me one thing, and I'm hearing another, and I'm questioning it, and so now I'm stupid for questioning that? No, you're stupid for not questioning it. That's it. It's plain
and simple. Well, are they stupid or just ignorant?
Well, either
well,
way.
It's forgetting the basic principle that you cannot improve on a perfect system, but you can employ that perfect system to produce
utilize
what you
it.
Need.
Exactly.
See, I love technology. I love to see how things work, and I don't think that we need to go back to the Stone Age. I think that we can go into the future and literally have clean air to breathe and clean water for everyone to drink, and everybody can still have air conditioning and heating and computers and all that kind of stuff. We just need to do it responsibly and efficiently.
Right, we would have figured it all out by now, Shaziz. We would have been so far advanced technologically.
Oh yeah.
Had we stuck with the principles that are set before us in this perfect system, this system that was here these millions of years has proven itself over and over and over and over again. There is not one chink in the principles that support this natural system. You cannot find one.
No.
Why? No. Why has man decided to corrupt this system and produce less because of it? And why have we decided to support this system that requires more and produces less?
Yep.
Why?
Well,
Raymond said it.
Steve said it as well. At the very top of Shazoo's radio, Steve put a really beautiful banner up there of nature, and basically it says on there, nature needs no improvement, only the arrogance of man requires change. I love Steve. I'm telling you, he is brilliant.
He is. He really is.
You know, what we got going on here is a failure to communicate. We do not and never have had an energy crisis. Nature
right.
is in control.
Exactly.
And when you make nature mad, when you throw nature off balance, nature will put things back where they belong, because the system is set. It is the epitome of perfection. And when people start to realize that, and they realize as long as you work in harmony with nature, good things happen. And when you work in, look, NASA has a huge rocket that they're saying that they're using to go, they're testing to go to Mars. And this thing runs on hydrogen technology. They're able to literally run this thing for 50 seconds at a time, and 55 seconds at a time, I think, and produce enough moisture in the air to literally produce a cloud that in turn will cause it to rain. But they say that weather manipulation, oh, we don't know how to do that. Well, that's that's basic science already shows. You can turn steam into pressure, you can release that pressure rapidly, and it's going to rain right next to that cloud, because it's physics. That's what's going on.
Oh,
it's condensing
yeah.
up there.
I've seen that many times in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Many
well,
times.
You know, I was raised in Louisiana, Honey Island Swamp, and not far from us was the Stanislaw Space Center, where they tested out these rockets. And you would hear them when they would start them up, and they'd run them for a long time. And you could see the clouds being produced from that.
Yep. Well, there you go. And look, folks, if you paid attention in science class, then you're right there with me. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you decided you were going to step outside the box and get the big picture, well, then I think that according to that one thing that I read earlier, you're practicing the dark arts of mad science, because you're going against the grain. And they don't like it when you go against the grain, because it hits them in the wallet. It hits them in the control structure.
You know what else they did at the Stanislaus Space Center? They had the runoff, the condensation ponds and stuff from their testing and stuff. They also dumped into those ponds their wastewaters and stuff, septic and things like this. And they put lily pads in these ponds. And there were coolers, the water fountains. Remember the old water fountains? They had them set up, and this water came from those ponds, because those water lilies, they knew back then that those water lilies could take every toxin out of that water and provide
fresh water.
Exactly.
Yep, and that's why.
Now, they knew this when I was a kid.
That's why when I found out that duckweed was one of nature's water filtration systems that can do exactly what those lily pads are doing, I tell you what, it opened Pandora's box in my mind, because I just realized that not only did we have an unlimited source of biofuel, but chicken feed and in worst case scenario people food. You got to cook it right, otherwise the spiny little things will cause you intestinal discomfort and such. But nonetheless, it's still nutrient rich, because it takes all the nutrients out of that pond and puts it into that plant, and it's just mind blowing at the capabilities of something as simple as something that is aggravating to golf courses. Golf courses spend thousands of dollars to get rid of duckweed and watermill because they want their ponds to be aesthetically pleasing to the eye.
You know, that's why I keep telling people I am a second-hand vegetarian. I cannot eat grass. Cows can, and I can eat cows. Cows eat grass, I eat cows. I'm a second-hand vegetarian.
Well,
actually, you can't eat barley grass and cereal grass, and it's very
There are grasses that you can eat, but there are grasses you can't, but cattle can.
But see, on this...
Sheep, goats.
On this world, we're told that there are certain problems going on in the world. We've told that there are people starving to death in this world, and we're told there's people homeless in this world, people doing without. And to me, I find it to be sheer ridiculousness that is only tracked back to money and greed and power. And it really angers me, and that's why I call it mad science. It angers me that anybody in this world would starve to death when nature has provided an overabundance of everything necessary for life-giving water, food, and heat, and cool, and everything. Every bit of energy that we need, nature has provided. And as long as you utilize it properly, you won't make nature mad, and you won't have any problems.
I got an idea, Shaziz. Do you really know how to cook duckweed properly so that a person can eat it and survive with it?
Yeah, you're supposed to boil it until it's soft.
Not supposed to. Have you actually ever done it?
No, because why would I do that? I can go get me a bologna sandwich if I want.
Well, wait a minute. My thing is, we're talking about homeless people and people being hungry. Well, let's make a couple of videos of things that you can eat that are free.
Well, sure.
They're totally free.
It's not
just free. That somebody would even be glad for you to come on their property and collect some of their duckweed.
Well, Patty,
I used to do
foraging
that.
Science.
Yeah, I used to do that all the time. People would have me come out to their properties, their lands, and they would ask me to go out and tell them what they have on their land. And I would go out there and I would catalog food. I would catalog, and I've never termed herbs as medicine or medicinal, because there is no medicine in the herbs. Never has been and never will be. What it is nutrition. What it is vitamins, minerals, and nutrients. It's the body that converts these vitamins, minerals, and nutrients into medicine that the body uses. So I tell these people, and they would be flabbergasted. I could walk a 2-acre plot and come back with 50 to 60 different plants that these people could survive and be healthy on. You know, there are plants like mullein and other different plants that can be used for wounds and things like this and sore throats. But all it is these vitamins and nutrients contain these compounds that nature is so perfect about. You know, that you might have one herb that has a compound, and the pharmaceutical company says, oh, that's good for pain. Let's take that one compound out. And we'll synthesize it, and we'll put it in a pill. But what they've done is They've taken one compound of maybe 500 different compounds that support each other so that there are no side effects. It's simply nutrition.
Right.
And so they take that one compound, they put it in a pill, they give it to you, and all of a sudden there are all these side effects, and this pill becomes harmful to the system.
Patty, you better watch it, because you try to share that knowledge with people, the food industry and the pharmacy industry going to come get you with the men in black.
No one should ever go hungry.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, nature's provided it, and we've acquired throughout the generations of all of our lifetimes, and then some, our forefathers acquired knowledge about what to eat and what not to eat, what makes you sick and what don't make you sick. And if we paid attention in school, we probably would have figured out some of it, but if we paid attention to nature, we would have figured out it all. Period.
But you know what the kicker is?
Yeah.
Is that the control knows all of this. They know this knowledge.
And that's why
they
know
what
we're
talking
about. That's
why. Why do we support a system that is abhorrent to the natural system, that would rather create for us harmful technologies than to utilize the natural, beneficial technologies of nature?
Because of the dark arts of education, science, and everything under there, these folks were able to manipulate people into believing that you can't get your food unless you go to the grocery store, you can't get your fuel unless you go to the fuel industry, the power from the power company, and all the advice from the government. And
that's why we're here.
Yep,
we're going to change that.
That's why we're here. That's why we call it mad science. Folks, if you like this message, I've been saying this over and over and over again. There are lots of podcasts up there on the Mad Science website there, which is isradio.com. Lots of podcasts with lots of good ideas. And just like Anon said in there, that looking for somebody to help educate them, we don't need you to be educated. We just need to share information with you so you can educate yourself. And that's the best go. That way you can test the theories, use the scientific method, whatever. And everything that we say will be proved out with the solutions that we put on the table. That's how it works. And so with that said, if you like this show, anything you've heard on this show, please do us the honor of sharing it with somebody else. Bring a friend to the chat room, you know, and somebody with some knowledge is going to find another piece of the puzzle that will help everybody else out as well. I'm not waiting around for the government to fix things, because I already seen their track record. They don't do so well. They like to blow stuff up. They like to use people for guinea pigs and so on and so forth. And as far as the industries out there, maybe they do some good, but the most part they do a lot of bad, because if you're making a drug that, like Patty explained, turns around and makes you sick, it's not a cure if it's making you sick. It don't make no sense to throw radiation at cancer, kill off the good cells along with the bad cells, make somebody's hair fall out, make them sick, when there are technologies out there that are capable of doing it in perfect harmony with nature. This isn't hoodoo voodoo. This isn't magic. This is basic science, basic physics, and paying attention to what nature's done already with perfection. And that's the word we need to spread. Put this podcast out there. Take whatever you want from this website. Use it over and over again. It's what it's here for. Jump
free
on the microphone.
Charge.
Yeah, it's free. It's free, just like the energy that surrounds us. People who say that there is no free energy has never paid attention in science and never paid attention to physics, and they surely haven't paid attention to the mad scientists, the Mad Science Show, or the Knights of the Round Table, because we've been for years putting this information on the table, that if you literally take the time to test what we're talking about, It's something as simple as if you want to save energy on your heating and cooling, then use physics and use science to put your heater on the floor and your air conditioner on the ceiling, and you'll find out that you will save a lot of energy because you're not trying to work against what nature's already showed you how to do properly. It's as simple as that. Am I wrong?
Simple, simple.
You're 110% right.
Folks, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show. I hope you stay tuned. I hope you share these podcasts. I hope you bring people to the table, because we're not looking we're not looking for donations. We're not looking for fame or fortune. We're looking to make the world right when we know that the world right now is in a state of being wrong. And when it comes down to education, if you're not going to teach the whole story, then don't teach nothing at all, because the whole story is going to give you the big puzzle, the big picture, whereas only half the story is only going to give you half the picture, and we're never going to get to the whole thing like Star Trek, The Next Generation, to boldly go where no man has gone before and such. You know, we should be so much further advanced, like Patty said earlier, than what we are. I've said it many times in the past. We should be so much further along than where we are right now. But yet, science has hindered us, education has hindered us, and those folks who believe themselves to be so educated that they're willing to come out there and discourage guys and gals like us from sharing with the public possibilities.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Can you hear me? Give my creation
fly! God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.